starts the Don and Mike Show.
Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Stay tuned for your shot at Big Bucks. Secret Sound, only on the Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
37 minutes after the hour. Good afternoon. You are up next.
Hello.
Yes.
Wait, let me turn down my radio.
Okay, sure.
I'd like to say I came across your program by accident, and this is one of the more informative programs I've ever heard. And I've never called a radio show before, but I was drawn to call on this topic.
Yes.
Thank you
very much for doing so.
Absolutely, and I think you're an excellent interviewer. No matter who your guest is, you're forcing them to answer the questions that we're all waiting to hear the answers to, and we appreciate that.
Thank you.
What's going on in South America is, of course, relevant to everything that happens in this hemisphere, but I feel that the World Bank is committing acts of ass play when forcing people to eat BM on the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much. There is really no telling, is there? I am personally offended by this. Don't do it again. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to. You're gone. Don't call me again.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Say, baby, hey. Girls say. I don't ask much from you, girl. Why can't you give me the respect that I'm entitled to? Why can't you treat me? I would be treated by any stranger on the street. Because I am not one of your fans.
Welcome. 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 Welcome.
You're fucked, MD.
Rob, this is Lee Eugene. Would you and your two buddies from the Crybaby Hall of Fame please destroy my phone number? I'm kind of serious about this, you know? I can take it, but I can also dish it out. Like, if I hear from you guys again, I'm liable to go to the president of WJFK and file a complaint against you. You don't want that for a Christmas present, right? Have a nice day, turkey.
Hey, it's a lady.
So toast them in a 350-degree oven until you can just sort of smell the nuts. And then remove them from the oven and place them on a clean cloth. And notice when I rub the nuts with the cloth, the skins kind of just fall off. You want to get the nuts as clean as possible. Every speck doesn't have to come off. But if you rub hard enough, most of the skins will pop right off the nut. This is a simple way to do a lot of nuts in a short period of time.
Hamilton, come over here. What are you doing?
I'm changing.
But you took off your Captain Hook uniform.
Well, I thought I'd put my street clothes on for the drive over to IBM. The uniform's kind of uncomfortable.
Hamilton, you're going over there as a representative of Captain Hook Fish and Chips. Part of our image, part of our appeal is that uniform. You know that.
You really want me to put the stuff back on?
Yes, I do. Show a little pride.
Yes, sir.
His name is Charles, but close friends call him Charlie, and he's behind bars.
I love Charlie Falls.
Incredible!
I was just thinking that because, wait a minute, I had this big scare this summer. I had, like, because I kept, you know, everybody urinates, so that's not like a big deal.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky, you are. And so, like, my urine was turning orange, and then was getting oranger, and then redder and redder. And so, like, I called Seven, and I said, God, I don't know how to break it to you, but something's really bad, really awful wrong with me. And so then I went to the doctor, and you know what it was?
Licorice.
Beets. I've been eating too many beets at the salad bar.
Carrots can do it.
Because it got redder and redder and redder, so I thought, I am really sick. But it was just beets.
I just noticed something that in one of your interviews with John Candy, I believe, it looked like an older interview, you had less hair than you have today. How do you explain that?
I don't wear a wig, sir.
Paint your bald spot?
What bald spot?
You paint your bald spot?
I don't know what you're talking about, sir. My hair grows.
Do you paint your bald spot?
I don't have a bald spot.
How come you had less hair on the tape?
Maybe my hair grew. Maybe I had a bad haircut that day. By the way, something. What do you care?
Paint your bald spot?
I don't. Do you paint your bald spot?
Paint your bald spot?
Let's see.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my ass.
At this point, I say, yeah, I hate him. There you go. I hate him, Joe. And then you play the Robbie tapes.
He was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy, himself. A man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Rob, if you could hold on, we forgot this.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
And we forgot this.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
And that will give you this.
But other than that, it's running like a comet.
Hey, we're all right today.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Westwood. Wonderful. And all the ships at sea, hey, big nipples, huge nipples, great nipples. Live from New Orleans, here's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Thank you, Robbie, and hi. Thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show, a new episode on this Monday.
On the
April 7th. Here's the phone number from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. Canadians not allowed to call, 800-636-1067, Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067. Joe, hit the other one. I guess there's a problem with Buzz's microphone while we work on that. What's a good thing? Buzz's news isn't until late in the show. Try it now, Buzz.
Hello.
There he is.
Hi, Donna. Mike, Buzz Burbank here.
Hi, Buzz, and hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. We, once again, are live in New Orleans at the Final Four. It's Kansas and Syracuse.
Mm-hmm.
Unless some people show up today, this show probably will have nothing to do with the basketball game.
We're just here, and
we have a weekend. We have a weekend that we could take the 4 hours telling you about the last 48 hours of nonstop weekend that we had. I do believe that today, finally, face to face, we will meet our demon child, James Nancy.
That is so exciting. You know, we have had him, I can't even count the number of times we've had him on the show, but the fact that we're going to see him face to face, and it's just a shame that we weren't able to bump into him over the weekend.
Jim?
It would have been nice to kidnap him.
Jim?
How about after we get finished with the broadcast, you come with me to the CBS party?
Thank you, Jim. Well, you're the greatest.
You guys are funny.
Thank you very much. And Jim, the fact that I heard you walking around the French Quarter with your penis out.
Unbelievable.
Absolutely. And then I understand that you actually did something with it.
You guys have been unbelievable.
Well, thank you.
There he is.
Thank you very much, Jim. Jim, just for the record, did you de-pants yourself in the French Quarter?
Absolutely.
Think about it now. Did you de-pants yourself?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. And you did something with number one, number two?
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Okay.
Wow, I didn't know he was that rowdy. I guess, well, we didn't see him.
Thank you, Jimbo. So, no, we didn't see him. We spoke to him via telephone, and he's promised to come by today.
Excellent.
They're going to sneak him in the back entrance so that the other radio shows don't have to talk to him.
We'll come in through the back door?
Yeah, now, the games Saturday night. The first game was a blowout. The second game was very close. We wouldn't know because, as it turns out, we want to thank our great hosts at Westwood Wonderful.
Right.
The tickets that were supplied, as it turns out, from my understanding, were tickets to go to the Superdome, sit in a room, and watch it on television.
So we're going to watch it on television here?
Yeah, I don't know what we're doing tonight. I don't think we're going.
You've got basically senior experience in freshman speed versus freshman speed.
our engineering support team. Do I have to read this now or at the end? Read it at the end. Because the engineers have all been very nice.
Yes, they have. Is it the speed of Syracuse against the freshman experience? Is it the speed? It's the speed of Kansas.
Yeah. Who the F knows?
Against the senior experience of Syracuse.
Who the F knows?
Yeah, but Syracuse is going to have the same team next year. They're building.
All I know is that at some point today during the show, we're going to send Lisa out to the lobby. And the lobby is just absolute B.O. BM Central.
Yeah.
We're going to send her out there and get in like 10 rabid, moronic, drunk Syracuse fans and put them in a battle of the wits against equally drunk, equally moronic Syracuse fans.
You know, they had the type of thing we have back in Northern Virginia where you can buy lottery tickets in a 7-Eleven, a convenience store. It would be nice to have Lisa have like 2 lottery tickets and just have her go out to the lobby and say, who wants some tickets? And then sell her tickets and you whip out some lottery tickets.
And man, do I wish I had some fake ones.
Oh my God.
Because everywhere you go, people are coming up who's got two?
Everybody wants a ticket.
Who's got two? Who's got two? And the prices... I'm reading the newspaper today. People paying like $8,000.
Yeah, it's too much.
For a ticket to it. Incidentally, at the Superdome, the place holds 80,000. They put up like a blanket to cover half of it. But it's still 50,000 people.
A big blanket.
It's got to be like watching ants. You pay $8,000 to watch ants?
A big blanket.
I don't know, but I do have a special message for my... my wonderful nephews, and one of them is my godchild, Drew and Nick, back at home. Uncle Mike, keep in mind, that's my real name, not a secret, kids. Sent you a package today,
hey.
Including the actual NCAA Final Four basketball.
Wow.
That says Final Four on it. I swiped it from Westwood One on Friday, and UPS'd it out. UPS it out today. Now I see, and I know that they're going to be heartbroken. I wanted 2 of them.
Yeah. Right.
When I came down today to try to steal another one, they only had the 2 that were out right there. And the lady said to me, "We're missing one of them."
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And I said, "Oh, that's awful." So I took the Mike.
You got another one that's sitting over there right now.
Yeah, but I've already UPS'd the one to the 2 guys, and I got them.
Yeah, they have 2 that are sitting over there, so they obviously had to go make a special arrangement to replace yours.
Get another one. I got them the shirts and the beads, and we've got a lot of stuff to tell you about. A lot of purchases made over the weekend. So we think Jim Nance is coming by. Listen, today we have a trip to Las Vegas to give away, courtesy of Buzz's favorite Verimax.
Someone called for a doctor.
And we give it away, a trip to Las Vegas every day this week on the show. Today, who knows, it might be one of you kind-hearted, gentle people who's listening to this segment right now.
Good afternoon, gentle persons.
Because it might be a call-in segment. Of course, based on how the phones worked on Friday.
You're gone.
I think we're going to kind of operate the show without the telephone today. And besides, I remember, don't you remember a long time ago that the departed Ken Stevens, one of his mottos was, as far as DJs go,
uh-huh,
that the true way you could find out if a DJ could do this would be you put a DJ in a room with no records and no telephone.
That is correct, and we have certainly worked telephone-free in the past, and we will do that by and large today.
I mean, we'd like to take your calls, but if it's going to be a technical nightmare, that thing where the phones are bouncing back and forth. And
well, let's be honest also. I mean, if you're taking phone calls, it takes away from talking about what we like to talk about best.
Us. And there's also the
Joe
factor, even though I know that the Joe factor was at a minimum on Friday.
Well, you're getting his worst days of the week, his Friday show and his Monday show,
Joe.
When he has maximum loss of focus.
Right? I think the Monday Joe show is worse than the Friday Joe show.
Most times, yes.
Because the Friday Joe show is building up towards the weekend.
Weekend! Yeah, the Wednesday Joe show is usually when he's dialed in the best because he just doesn't have anything to look forward to or recover from.
But the Monday Joe show, you're getting the crashed Joe, and especially a Monday Joe show when we're not actually there.
Oh, to discipline him.
A very good chance that Joe probably came right from wherever he was, whatever party he was, right to work today.
It's the way it usually works. That's why we're glad we go on at 3 o'clock.
As many people in New Orleans have been doing all weekend, and God damn do we have stuff to tell you about that. So, let's see. That's the show today. If Nance shows up, we'll grill Nancy for a while. I keep hearing, and I know they're lying to me when they say Bobby Knight's going to come by, Mike Krzyzewski's going to come by. I know none of those guys are going to come by.
We are in this hotel, kind of sequestered in this little ballroom down in the middle of nowhere. You know, if you're not really looking for us, you're not going to find us down here.
Now, one of our tour guides is going to have to find these people and bring them to us. And I can only picture one of these limp-wristed, ballless Westwood One units walking up to a guy like Bobby Knight and saying, excuse me, coach, would you mind coming down to be on the Don and Mike radio show?
Mr. Knight, could you come down and be on the Don and Mike show?
You know what? I just said to Mike, I want to do things in sequence, but I'm going to stick to that.
But well, what do you want to talk about?
You
want to talk about dinner last night?
Yeah, but I'm going to wait and do it in sequence.
I know, that's kind of top of mind, really.
Because it's the dynamic management style that is the Western One radio network that we saw last night. Anyway.
I know you're going to talk all about it, but boy, of the whole weekend, I believe that's when we were the unhappiest campers.
Last night at the Westwood dinner. So listen, here's the deal. Although we didn't get to go to the games, and it's been like bad weather with 60 mile an hour winds and,
right,
and thunderstorm warnings and all the other stuff.
Tornadic activity.
We've been, that's Mike's new weather word.
It's a good word. The conditions are somewhat tornadic.
We've had,
not virtually, Rob,
a goddamn good time. And here's how it started.
That's been all right.
We flew in. Hold on, Lisa. Just say it. Don't write it.
Okay.
Nance?
I just spoke to Melissa, Jim Nance's assistant, and at quarter till, they're leaving where he's doing some voice work, and they're heading right over here. We have to usher them in and out so that nobody else can talk to them.
All right, well, if we're in the middle of our weekend stuff, we'll break away.
Nance will have to wait.
Well, no, we'll break away.
I'm kidding, of course.
To get to Nancy. And Charlie told me something else when you were across the room a couple of seconds ago. He said, don't forget your history, meaning you and I. Every time we've had a friend that we've made on the telephone, generally when we meet that person,
it ends.
The relationship ends.
It sours immediately.
I don't think that's going to happen with Nancy. I don't think so.
No, it's going to be a hit and run. Yeah. You know, it's not going to be like Patty Heaton.
So here's how the weekend started. As you know, we flew into New Orleans on Friday.
Delightful.
We got up to our rooms. We came down. We did the broadcast. We got done with the show, and I was sitting up in my room debating what I was going to do, rub another one out, go out with you guys to dinner, do some room service. Well, I get a call from Broyhill, and he says, turn on channel 13 right now. So I turn it on, and 13 is CNN, and I'm thinking, okay, something major must have happened in the world, right? Well, I'm watching, and I'm saying to Charlie, yeah, yeah, and he said, just wait, look, you see the guy who's moderating the panel discussion? I said, yeah. He said, do you know who that is? I said, no. He said, that's Joe Rockhead.
Yeah.
Joe Rockhead.
Former lunkhead intern that we had on the show.
One of our dumbest interns. And
the dumbest. I don't think there's any question that he was...
Slow Andy?
Well, no.
Yes, he was the dumbest intern we ever had.
Mike E. Rockhead was dumb.
Right.
But here's why Joe Rockhead was dumb. He was dumb because he thought he was smart.
He thought he was smart. That's and right. He would come in and say, indubitably. And he was like, he didn't know what he was talking about, and he pretended he was smart, and he would always say the wrong things at the wrong time, and we dubbed him the world's dumbest intern.
And it's panned out for him now, this thing, this pretending that he's smart. We ask him something, and if he knew the answer or not,
he would just BS his way through it. He's the kind of guy, you see it in movies sometimes, where the enlisted man will say, oh, that's going to be a general someday. You know, right. He's that kind of guy.
Where indubitably.
Because he is just such a lunkhead that you knew he was going to rise to the top.
So longtime listeners remember the original intern, Joe Rockhead.
Rockhead. I mean, that's the reason you gave him the name Rockhead, because it was just so funny.
And really. He looked like a Flintstone.
And we had a tape, Joe Rockhead is an Idiot.
All right.
That we would play whenever he came in the studio. And more recent listeners might remember in the last couple of years, we actually had him on the phone because he had some government... what is it, Robbie? It's a government like liaison job?
Media concerns or something?
He's in a think tank. I think he's part of one of those Washington think tanks.
How bad is that?
He can thrive in there.
Think about this. While we all know that what we're doing in Iraq, whether you think it's right or wrong, you've got to know that our brightest minds are working on the actual war in Iraq.
I think the way we're prosecuting this war, it'd be tough to make an argument that we're not doing a good job. I think everybody seems to be doing their job, and hopefully this thing's going to be over as soon as possible.
Then
it's going to be terrific.
Then let's keep it just to a journalistic side.
Okay.
America, you must know if you're watching CNN, and you're watching, and they had one of the guys from Evans, Shields, and Novak, one of those douchebags on. And also some army guy who was wearing the uniform, and Joe Rockhead, whose real name is Matthew
Tate Felling.
Rob loves giving him the three names because it makes him sound like a serial killer.
Matthew Tate Felling. Is it Felling or Felding?
Felling.
Felling.
All I know is that as I'm watching CNN Friday night, it's Joe Rockhead who's yelling at a general, not yelling, but leading the discussion, saying, no, in fact, General, there's proof that Iraq has the chemical weapons in this location, in this location. And I'm watching this on screen, and I'm still on the phone with Broyhill, and it really hasn't sunk in yet.
It's Rockhead. Does he look different?
He looks a little older, but he looks the same.
Is he still a cross-eyed?
Mike, he was never a Dixie chick.
He was cockeyed.
I never noticed.
Yeah, you know, he had one of those.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
Buzz, you remember?
Absolutely.
You guys don't remember that he was cockeyed.
I just remember him looking like not just an animated character, but a poorly animated character.
No, he had some. In fact, he probably tells. I know that at one point we discussed his cockeyedness, and he came in once again with a big, like, medical reason.
Crazy wild eyes.
Indubitably.
I was dropped when I was a child.
Over and over.
Is he the moderator of this thing that you're watching?
Yes, he was.
Oh, my God.
He was the guy. It was an hour long, and it was at 7 o'clock East Coast time, so it was prime time.
Right.
He was the guy that would say, Robert Evans, what do you think about this?
Wow, that's terrifying.
You know,
it is.
General Dumkopf, what do you think?
You know, he probably can't do a lot of damage, but the fact that he's controlling the minds, you know, it's kind of the same way we felt about Larry King when he started getting the big political guests.
Right. Yeah, but the thing is, Larry King, we know he's dumb.
He's a broadcaster, though.
Yeah, but at least he was a DJ and he knows something about radio.
Rockhead.
Joe Rockhead. This is the guy who used to go to 7-Eleven and get our drinks.
And mess it up.
Yeah, and he would mess up the order every day, and it was the simplest thing every day. A Diet Cherry Coke.
Right.
I don't know which is funnier, Joe Rockhead being on CNN or Larry Michaels' pants.
Larry...
Larry wearing the look that says executive.
Larry's got on.
I can't ignore it.
Larry's got on.
I can't ignore every time he walks by.
His crocodile hunter pants.
Phone pocket.
Lots of pockets.
And he's wearing the look that you like to. He is wearing. Larry is sporting a look that. That really, you're against this look more than anything in the whole wide world.
Dark socks with tennis shoes?
Yeah, dark socks with tennis shoes.
Bet your ass I am.
I know.
Even though I know they're athletic socks.
Right.
Oh, you know what they are? Look at them. They're Tommy Hilfiger socks.
Wow.
Oh, that's okay. So gay.
Right. Those are the shoes he had on when he had the run-in the elevator that we'll be
What's
talking
he doing?
About later.
Oh, no. He's showing us his underwear. Black underwear.
Athletic All right, socks so.
That's disgusting.
So, okay. Maybe some of you caught it. It was funny. Maybe he'll be on again. Joe Rockhead. His real name is Matthew
Tate Felling.
Matthew Tate Felling. And he's on CNN all the time talking about the war. And just 4 years ago, he was our dumbass intern. So congratulations. He's really climbed the corporate ladder.
Thank you, sir.
Indubitably.
He would talk to thank you. I think you did.
So as it turns out, Friday night, here's a surprise. I decided not to go out with everybody else.
Good move.
And as it turns out, yeah, it ended up being a good move.
Well, we were all wiped. I mean, it was like, you know, it was an exhausting day of travel. And
but you guys hooked up with, we hooked up with Jim Gray, who was on the show on Friday during the Uncle Cartoon segment.
Called him Uncle.
Yeah, we hooked up with James Gray twice. You guys met with Jim Gray Friday night when you...
It was a group of us that...
You went to the first Westwood One dinner thing?
Yeah, the Westwood One shindig, which was a rather boisterous affair with lots of people talking loudly, and the table featuring everybody from the show except for you, and then Larry Michael and Jim Gray eating his white meat chicken.
Wow. Let me just tell our listeners, do not tune out of today's show, because I'm doing things in chronological order here. I just want to tell you, Saturday night, bombshell, okay? We are weaving a tale. It's a tapestry. Thank you, Rob. A tapestry. Rob and I have written 2.5 pages of notes, and many of these notes involve question and answer sessions with Mike. Mike's whereabouts.
What?
Mike's companions.
I didn't do anything.
What Mike was up to.
What was I up to?
Well, we're going to find out.
All right. I hate the fact that you're doing it chronologically. I want to get it over with.
No, it's the only way, Mike.
The only way.
So,
well, really,
dinner with Jim Gray, what was that like?
Jim Gray, Jim Gray was what you get on TV is what you got at dinner. You know, he's kind of like that. He's just kind of a caustic guy, you know. And he was Rob, like, because Jim Gray is a skinny man. Rob would constantly be saying, you know, like he did on the show the other day, he looks chubby. And
he is Jim Gray.
You know, found out a lot about Jim Gray, that he's from Colorado. I was asking questions, and he would like leave the table for long periods of time and then come back to eat his chicken. And
I think he was putting his finger down his
throat. Here's the deal, and I know we're going
to... Let me also say, excuse me, Mike, just for a second. Spotlight on Buzz later in today's show.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I think Buzz has to answer for his behavior,
and
too.
And also a really, really tough... And this might be an intervention with Buzz when we discuss his behavior of last evening. But sorry about Jim Gray.
Well, we're going to talk about two get-togethers with Westwood One, and it became apparent to us, if Larry wasn't there, that we were the black sheep of the family.
Absolutely.
We did not... They didn't, you know... They were entertaining clients. I think they had significant clients for Westwood One. They had people that were associated with sports broadcasting, which most of the people that are in this room today and most of the people that are on this trip, they are sports broadcasters. That's what they do. We are not, and we are treated as such. I really got the impression when I walked into the room at this very nice restaurant. I don't even remember the name of the restaurant on Friday night that we...
Oyster House, maybe?
Yeah. That'll cover you in New Orleans, Rob. It was the Oyster House. It was Restaurant and Lounge.
That's where we ate.
And we walked in, and I just got the distinct impression that that we were going to be there for a very long period of time, and that we were being welcomed as a courtesy to Larry Michael, that he got us in because we nobody wanted to have anything to do with us, much like last night. It was the similar type of event. And so Jim Gray was there, being Jim Gray, and we were all exhausted. We were tired. And I believe I timed out the amount of time from the beginning of the sit-down until we finally were served dinner, and it was 14 hours.
It was.
It was 14 hours before, you know, from the time we sat down until we got served our meal. It was a very, very long evening, and really nobody was in that festival mood. We were really, we were in the mood for one thing. Get us our chow, get us the hell out of there.
Right.
Now, and that was it.
The only question I have for you guys, and I was not there, it involves Larry, vodka, and a water glass full of vodka.
Larry finally got his second drink, and it was, I believe he asked for a double, and they brought him a drink in a glass that was this giant goblet. And
water glass.
Larry behaved as though he'd never received an alcoholic beverage before. He was so excited, and I think he was excited like we were all excited whenever anything would be brought to the table, because there wasn't anything being brought to the table at all. It was really about a 3.5 hour process from the very beginning until we were all really done. And then you know, then we all just split.
I mean, we even cut out before dessert, and I knew it was bad when Mike and I were saying to each other, "You know what? These are uncomfortable seats." And Mike, my ass hurts. Mine's killing me.
Yeah,
because we just sat there for 4 hours,
and they were the kind of chairs that it was just a long time, and nobody. And here's the most important thing, and I know we're going to talk about this later. Nobody there really had anything to do with us. As a matter of fact, they kind of looked the other way.
That would be a carryover to last night's watch.
Where they kind of shuffle us off into the corner, and we are the bastard children of the Westwood One Radio Network. It's obvious.
So I'm glad, you know, on one hand, I'm sad you guys didn't have a great kick-ass time, but I'm glad that I wasn't there.
It was, I mean, we were all tired, and we all should have probably done what you did, which was, you know, just go back to your room and then rub one out.
I rubbed one out, and then I rented the movie about Schmidt. And let me just save anybody the time. The movie is about S.H.I.
Oh. I can't. I'm so bummed out because it looks good.
There's one good scene. And if you've seen the movie or you're planning on seeing it and I'm ruining it, well, tough. It's been out for 2 months. The only funny scene is when Jack Nicholson's taking a leak standing up. And he's just hard in the pump.
Wow.
And his dead wife.
Right.
Other than that, the movie blows.
You know, the funny thing, you mentioned that, but Friday night at our Westwood One dinner, Rob did the same thing.
I did.
Standing up at the center of the table. He was mad.
At Jim Gray.
The one thing about Schmidt, and I'm sure Mr. Skid will have a comment on this, it went by very quickly.
The Kathy Bates nude.
But there is a shot of her disrobing and getting into the hot tub with Nicholson.
Is that why you guys mentioned nipples at the beginning of the show?
Oh no, that's
this will be explained later.
Okay,
I'm not privy to that.
You don't know that was that was a Jim Gray moment that I had last night.
Okay, very good.
With James Gray. So let's break on this note. When we come back, it picks up. It picks up volume.
Not really.
For some of us it does. It picks up. I know that you were not with us for Saturday morning.
No, I don't make the morning. I don't make the.
You were not with us for Sunday morning. You were not with us for this morning.
Right. Right. Yeah, I don't make the morning wake-up call. Now, were you all together again this morning at that hour?
No, this morning the party had dropped from everybody except you to just Rob and I.
Just Rob and yourself.
Yeah. Just Rob and I.
Our love affair with this place and the great coffee.
You guys tired at all? You guys get tired with the schedule you keep at all?
Always.
Really?
I am tired.
Because, I mean, really, if you're going to meet at 7 a.m., that means you get up at about 6, right?
But it's really meeting at 8 o'clock. If you stick on 8 East Coast time.
Oh, was it 7 o'clock New Orleans time?
7 o'clock
New Orleans. 8 o'clock. Oh, that's different. That's a major hour right
and
there.
And we have to get there early, otherwise someone else gets our table.
And we were pissed because a guy got our table today.
Oh, you're like the A table. You guys were talking about the table all day.
I know.
Because listen, I don't want to give away the stories, but there's nothing better than sitting at this outdoor. What's the name of this joint, Rob?
Cafe Dumont.
Okay. Don, it's quite simple. I cannot make an 8 a.m. breakfast meeting and still have the title America's Favorite Night Owl.
But nothing beats sitting at an outdoor cafe, having the world's strongest, most powerful coffee, smoking a cigar, and watching, not in chronological order, prostitutes, people throwing up.
Ooh, people you really saw that?
People who have been in fist fights, people who had been out all night and still drinking.
Wow.
And this morning, Rob and I saw 2 tons of flour being delivered.
Wow.
So, all right, that's not really exciting.
I loved it.
The 2 tons, 2 tons of flour, but... We do have a lot of stuff, and the highlight of this is going to be the Inquisition of Mike.
I will answer all the questions you have.
Very good.
I will answer them as best as I can, protecting the innocent.
Mike O'Mara is a very bad man.
I'm a very lonely man. I think that's the important thing.
You're a very good man.
I'm a good man. Thank you.
He's a very good man.
Is he a good man, Jim?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Jim.
What about Mike's behavior on Saturday night?
Unbelievable.
Absolutely. Okay, be the 100th caller right now. 877-365-3636. $1,000 on the line with the secret song. Be the 100th caller, you animals. Good luck. We'll be right back live from New Orleans.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I'd like to try to do my latest record. I tried it last night and didn't make it. I don't know the words to it, so I can read it. If we give it up, just, please forgive us.
The Don and Mike Show. God damn it. The Don and Mike Show.
Right, we're live in New Orleans. The final four. Just ahead of the caller 100, I want to mention this segment of our show brought to you by OnStar. Always there, always ready. The OnStar people are listening right now.
You've had a pleasant experience with the OnStar people recently, right? Didn't they help you out?
Yeah. Can I tell you something about OnStar? And you're gonna like it.
Okay, good.
I have an Escalade, and I love it. And I had another Cadillac before that had the OnStar. And I recently had a question about, I went to get the oil changed, and the light wouldn't go off. So I called OnStar, and I say, how do I get the light to go off? And they walked me through it. Real simple. Fantastic. Love it. Couldn't be better.
That's what I thought. That's why the last time you were talking about OnStar, I thought you had a very pleasant experience.
However, and this added to my pleasure. This is not a put-down of the OnStar. See, there are people from OnStar who are now sitting at our booth. Can we get their names? Can they at least say hello?
Are you guys from OnStar?
They would.
Are they from OnStar?
Yeah.
No, you're not? Well, you are, but you are?
They are, but they don't.
We're not
going to
mention any names. Oh, well, then let me just say OnStar. I don't have it, but I still think it's fantastic.
Anyway, listen, here's the deal.
I have it.
So I got the OnStar lady on the phone, and she says, hold on, I'm going to call your dealership.
She says, hey, big boy.
So she calls the dealership. And they go, this is on a Sunday afternoon, and the guy in the place says, turn the key and hit the gas 3 times within 5 seconds and the light will go
and
off.
And then say, there's no place like home. There's no place like
and,
home.
And
no
it works like perfect. And I say, thank you very much. And then what happens is they continue talking. Now, my part of the conversation is off because he's saying to her,
oh, that's the one where you heard the guy from the tow truck company talking to the lady, trying to hit on the lady from OnStar.
The guy from the Cadillac dealership. He was saying, so how you doing? She's saying, I'm doing all right. How about you? And at this point, I'm sitting in my car, and I'm talking to a little speaker going, I can hear you. I can hear you. But they obviously had me turned off. So you should just know that there are mechanics at GM dealers around America who are trying to pick up your OnStar operators after they
you know what I heard about OnStar?
Customer.
What I heard about OnStar is that all the women that handle all the calls, all hotties.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Every single one of
it's
them.
It's required.
Like model pretty.
And it's
supermodels, each and every one of them.
If you can take a compliment, I just called with a question about the oil light going on and off. I considered it to be phone sex. That's how great the OnStar experience.
Really,
wow.
And that's great because the thing is, when you see these cars that have all these navigation systems, you don't have the human element that you have with OnStar. And the fact that they have hired some of the most beautiful women in America to man these phones,
I'm getting it.
Because there's an employment glut out there.
Well, she said she was beautiful, Mike.
Right.
I mean,
all beautiful, and also all the men are very pretty men. I understand.
The people at OnStar, they're like Menudo. They fire them at age 26.
And as soon as they reach that age, they're out of there, or if their voices change.
I consider myself lucky that I got the interior of my car scotch carded.
Oh.
After my call to OnStar.
It was that great an experience for you?
It was.
It's fantastic.
I love it. Anyway, thank you, OnStar, for sponsoring us. Let's get a call 100 right now. You see, now, can we finesse a client?
Is that great? That's beautiful. The way we do it, ladies and gentlemen.
It's not that tough.
Do not try this at home. We are professionals.
Nice.
That's nice.
OnStar, nice.
That is nice.
Nice.
Call 100. Hello, John and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, John and Mike.
Hey, what's your name, my friend?
David.
Hi, Dave. Where are you from?
Virginia. Purdyford, Virginia.
Nice.
Dave. Nice. There you go. Tickets to see Pete Gabriel, Sunday, June 22th. Nissan Pavilion tickets on sale. Ticketmaster at NissanPavilion.com.
Yeah, you've been shocking your monkey this week.
Now you are going to play. Oh, the OnStar lady's still listening, Mike.
She's loving it. She's like anybody else. First time they listen to the show, it grabs them.
Yeah,
it's right. Like a fungus. You can't get rid of it.
Listen, don't be offended. I've been married to the same wonderful woman for 23 years. I desperately miss her. When I get to a foreign city without her, I got to do what men do. You know what
I
mean?
Here it was going well right up to that point.
She's heard enough.
You just have to tell everybody.
Remember your history.
You just have to do that. That's your thing.
And you can use this from me. Or is this your husband or no? Well, hey.
That's your husband?
That's your husband?
Yeah.
If she ever, you ever bring it up with her, tell her that you were rubbing one out.
There you go. Absolutely. And this guy, and you're from Radio Shack, right? I can tell because I can read.
He's got the shirt on.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, you've got the useless Westwood One lady whose market is Dallas.
She still takes the picture even after that wonderful compliment.
Keep in mind, we got canceled in Dallas like 3 years ago.
Can you get us back on in Dallas? Please?
Oh. Here's the line she keeps giving me.
Right.
I so want you guys back on in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
I really miss you in Dallas.
Thank you.
But what has she done about it? Absolutely nothing.
War.
Good God. Say it again.
Is it good for?
Listen, beat it, Blondie. let's get the guy on the phone. Are you ready to go for $1,000?
I sure am, guys.
Okay. It's a common, everyday sound. We'll play you the sound, give you 15 seconds to noodle it through. Please don't answer until Mike sings like.
Run DMC.
And we wish you Godspeed.
Caller, name this sound.
I'm hearing that repeated, Joe. There it is. There's the music. Whatever's been taken out of auditions has been taken out of auditions. Man, they thought that I would F up the OnStar thing.
No way.
I'm telling you.
It was beautiful.
It was golden.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital. The rocker rhyme is right on time. It's tricky. It's the title. Here we go.
Yeah. Oh, it's tricky.
Yeah.
I love it's tricky.
That's old school.
That is nice.
For $1,000, nice.
Nice.
I'm calling from Walmart. Nice.
White hat. Nice.
For $1,000, what's the sound?
Is it the closing or opening of a padlock?
No, negative. No.
Oh, we're sorry.
No, thank you, though, my friend, and don't forget that every guest is a clue for you. Now, I've been told that the most powerful woman...
Who told you that?
Lisa and Charlie.
Hey, it's a lady!
The most beautiful woman, the most powerful woman... And television sports is making her way here now.
You're so bad.
And that
she's going to be here momentarily. I think she's in the building.
She's here and she's being brought in a back way. So what we've been asked to do is
maybe
pad until Nancy arrives.
Pad.
Keep it clean.
I tried food today.
Yeah, I'll tell you this.
Have you ever had the strawberries? No, go ahead.
Saturday morning, when we, woke Saturday morning, Rob and I went for the first time. We've gone every morning
at dawn
to this cafe.
Once too on Saturday.
Yeah, right,
first time.
Yeah. And we went. We had the coffee and we watched the people and. Then we started our walking tour of the French Quarter.
Quarter.
And really, I mean, they got the Disney way of cleaning the city, which is basically just to come out with a hose and hose everything down.
Right.
Now,
including the people that are still partying.
They should.
We saw, in no particular order, of course, you know, number one. We also saw piles of number two.
What, human?
Yes, which we determined to be human. Much like that time that you and I saw the pile at the movie and
yes.
wondering if it was male
right,
or animal.
Really. It's unmistakable.
It had to be a guy. We also saw an entire... Now, oh, and as we were walking down the street and glass was breaking under our feet...
There you go. Yeah.
We were looking at the big signs that said...
Ordinance 28, all glass containers prohibited. But you couldn't step without the dead plank of broken glass.
Yeah, well, that's from the big night the night before.
We also spotted an entire, Rob, what was the
Maker's
size?
Maker's Mark, like a 750 million. Oh, you left that?
Yeah, it was mine.
Should I
remember?
But what was the size of the bottle? Was it a pint?
Was it a fifth?
Quart? It was like a 750 milliliters, one of the big bottles of Maker's.
Like a fifth of booze?
Yeah, more than that.
Like a half gallon?
Yeah.
So as you're walking down the streets of the French Quarter, there are just piles and piles of excrement.
Yes. Come on, human waste.
There was one pile of human waste.
Piles and piles. Come down here for the number two.
Like the smell of number one was everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Smell of beer everywhere.
Well, but Rob, hold on. Rob gets the prize because Rob spotted in the street, and thank God we didn't step on it. A syringe.
A giant.
Mm.
Yeah.
A syringe.
Pretty nasty.
There you go. Very exciting.
A syringe. This is brought to you by the New Orleans Chamber of Commerce. Whether it's conventions, Super Bowl, or Final Four, make it New Orleans.
It's a fun city.
And don't forget puke. That was had such a distribution that it had to have been from someone standing.
Oh, no.
It was wonderful. It
so, well, you guys are there early in the morning, right, when it's kind of deserted right. after everybody's rolled in off the big night before.
Yeah, but you would think that they would be out there cleaning it up. And I guess for New Orleans, cleaning it up it means just... putting all the stuff in a pile.
Mm-hmm. A lot of piling, yeah.
A lot of piling. And also, we found they have a waste removal system here in this city. But I guess, and I can't argue with it, because it's so goddamn lazy.
It is.
In a lot of buildings, rather than take your garbage, your hefty bag, and bring it down to the street to put it in the big plastic empty dumpster, what you do is you go to a central location in your building where there's a giant chute. And
right.
And it looks like one of those kids' slides, like at a playground.
Uh-huh.
And you just go up to the top floor, and you just drop your bags of garbage down the chute that get collected into a giant Dempsey dumpster
right.
down on the street.
And then they take it. Well, they try to take it away.
Yeah.
That's true.
We walked by 8, 9, 10 buildings that had these giant garbage chutes.
It's a great system.
And now, I know that if you live in a building, that there's a garbage chute inside a building. But you have to understand, this looked like something from Nickelodeon. This looked like something that a kid would stand underneath and slime would come out of it.
Coming out of the side of the building?
No, it runs down the front of the building.
Picture
on the outside, like a regular slide.
The dumpster is like parallel parked, like you would parallel park a car in front of the building, and then there's a chute connecting the building to the dumpster.
Mike, let me mention that this segment... And a great one it is. They'll be very proud to have this brought to you by Radio Shack. Yeah.
Yes, I like the people from Radio Shack.
You've got questions. We've got answers.
We met the nice lady from Radio Shack. And what is your first name again? Dana.
Congratulations. Dana. You're listening while we're talking about garbage.
Well, sorry about that.
Not that your product is garbage, but it's what we're talking about right now. The garbage of New Orleans. So we walked around. We saw the number one, the number two. We saw puke.
That's number four, isn't it?
Yeah, we saw a syringe.
Yes, it is. Is that number four?
We saw the bottles.
All right.
And we had a horrifying moment as we walked past. Of course, I was making the guys stop anywhere they sold cigars.
Right.
So there was a cigar shop, and I walked in and discerned that they didn't have anything. And as we walked out, there was a bar next door. From underneath these two... wooden doors.
Like barn doors.
Yeah, well, they're all the, that's the storage, like where they bring the kegs of beer in and stuff like that, and the food and the
Buzz
food.
Was with us, came a sea of, it appeared to be perhaps, it started as a detergent,
yeah,
but had chunks of food in it and had different colors and this thing came rushing out on the street.
15 gallons if it was an hour.
See, what you guys are probably getting, I mean, even though they don't do it to your satisfaction, that is the cleanup time. That's when they're hosing everything down and getting all the stuff, washing it into the street, into the gutters.
This looks like something Moses did, though.
You wouldn't want to drink what comes into those gutters, that's for sure.
So we all jumped out of the way.
Why they bury the people up above ground in New Orleans.
That's
right.
True.
When this thing was happening, and hey, where is Nance?
He's on his way.
This is typical Nancy now. I mean, we've padded the 5 minutes. Charlie, should I go on and break, or do you think he'll be here actually momentarily? Hold on.
Oops.
What mic is he on? And there you go. Hi, Charlie.
Lisa and Larry are downstairs waiting for him, so he could be here any moment.
Well, then I'm going to move on.
He said 5 minutes like he was in the building. He wasn't in the building?
No, he wasn't.
All right, I'm going to just move on then. So this was Saturday morning, and we hadn't hooked up with Mike yet. And I got the call from Mike, I guess early afternoon. And we all, the three of us, Mike and Rob and I, went across the street from the hotel to Harrah's Casino.
Boo.
As it turns out, it ended up with a happy ending, at least for me and for Mike.
There we go.
But
oh my God, ladies and gentlemen, the meeting has finally happened. We finally see this man in person after hundreds of thousands of phone conversations.
For the first time ever.
Wow.
Well, here he is now.
So exciting.
The most powerful
Jim,
woman in sports.
Yeah. How are you, Jim? Good to see you, Jim.
Good to see you.
Don Geronimo.
Geronimo, how are you? How are you?
Wow.
Jim Nance.
Buzz Burbank.
Rob Spiewak right here.
There he is. It's
unbelievable.
Jim Nance is unbelievable. Jim Nance is here. He's
absolutely
here. A man of his word. Jim, sit down. Put the headphones on.
So many phone conversations, and finally the meeting occurs. This is what a thrill this
great
is.
Done, man.
Oh, that's wrong. Hold on.
Come on, that what an insult.
Hold on, hold
walk
on.
Into the old
I'm trying
NBA
to find
venue.
This is Jim Nance at the Big Dance.
Yeah.
Hey, Jim Nance.
Here you go. And we don't want that, Rob.
Much better.
Jesus, we don't want that. Jim, we've been doing the interview without you. For instance, Jim, we understand that you just got totally S-faced last night.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Took your shirt off and just went crazy.
Unbelievable.
Uh-huh. Jim, you're telling us the truth, right?
You guys have been unbelievable.
Thank you, Jim. See, we could have done it without you.
You're so bad.
But we're really happy to have you live here so we don't have to use the tapes. This is terrific.
Oh, it's great to see you guys,
it's
man.
It's nice to finally meet you. It really is.
That's terrific. Jim. How many years have we been talking on the phone? 3 or 4 years?
It's been a long time. Now, I'd say at least that, yeah.
Of course, we know what you look like because we've watched you on TV.
But this is a first for you actually seeing us. And, you know, you've been described as somewhat of a broadcast poet with your golf coverage. I mean, you're a man that knows a thing or two about descriptive powers. Your impressions, seeing us physically for the very first time.
We're beautiful. I know we're beautiful, man.
You guys look like those, I don't know, I'm not a big wrestling fan, but you look like a pair of meathead wrestling tag team guys.
Oh, thank you.
Nice.
What about,
thank you so much.
What about Rob A?
No, I got to say, seriously, you guys look a little bit alike. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a similarity in your build and everything. You can, exchange clothes and stuff. And
Jim,
you're both far more handsome than I ever thought. I'm not really into that kind of thing. But you are two good-looking guys.
How about this man over here, Mr. Spiewak?
Hi, buddy.
How you doing? I'm trying to move down a little bit in the
nice
other
reaction.
Direction.
That is a nice reaction to Rob, right?
Gosh, Don, that is really you, huh?
Yeah, and you know what? I have lost a lot of weight.
He has.
Oh, you have?
I've lost 47 pounds since December.
Man, I can't imagine what you looked like before.
It's a compliment, right?
Okay.
Why don't you stand up a minute? I'd like to see the full spelt figure. Okay.
Yeah.
You can. You can look down. What color is your belt?
Black.
Can you see it?
Jim.
I'm sorry. You're looking good. If you lost 47 pounds, that's impressive.
I've gained 20.
Mike,
I've gained 20. It's been a bad year.
What's your waist size?
My waist size is 62.
I like the over.
I'll tell you, I'm going from a 44 to a 38.
Are you really 38?
Yes.
That's impressive. That's when you lose 6 inches in your waist.
I will pull my pants down now and let you look at the label in the back.
I heard you lost 6 inches somewhere else, but I know it was in your waist.
Bada bing!
Hey, Jim.
Wow.
The nasty Jim Nance. Wow.
He's, you know, he's feeling it today. And Buzz Burbank, your impressions of Buzz Burbank right here.
Hi, Jim.
I've seen Buzz, I think, on a Saturday Night Live skit or something.
You have, in fact, yes.
He looks a little bit like Al Franken.
Thank you.
Yes. Don't you think? See that?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean, he does. We've always said, actually, a young Jerry Stiller.
Because
he's
fantastic.
Good enough. He's nice enough. And, you know, doggone it, people like him.
Yeah.
You know, before you leave, Jim, I would like to drop my pants just so you could check my waist size.
Well, you did that last night in Bourbon Street, I heard.
Yeah.
Charlie, I don't want to show him my toes.
But the
sad thing
was, is right in front of those female impersonators. And
Now, Jim, we heard that you went out with Bill Raffer.
I have not seen him this week.
Raftery. Well, he mentioned a time recently he and his wife had gone out with you.
Sid, you're terrified to go out with him because it always ends up being like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning when you guys... he
is a late night. Yeah. He's a nocturnal animal.
As he said so gently, he and his wife like to enjoy a cocktail now and then.
And he said that he kind of had to hold you down and force one down your throat.
That's not true.
That's not true?
That is not true. But
what is your drink of choice, Jim?
I'm not a big drinker.
But what
I know that's going to shock you.
Do
I have wine.
Wine?
That's what that jives with what Bill said.
Mm-hmm. But what about if you have to have a man's drink?
I'm still looking for somebody to give me a little leadership on what direction I should go.
If only this had been Friday.
I had a hurricane here this week.
If only this had been Friday, we would have been. I would have been able to train you and just teach you the ways of alcohol.
Because really, I've been a raging alcoholic most of my broadcast career, and it's served me well.
It really has. Long before that.
Yes, it started at American University. What can I say, ladies and gentlemen across America? I'm sitting here at a table directly across from the very famous duo here, Don and Mike, and I'm just curious. Why, in front of Mike, there is a bowl here. I've never seen anything like this. A bowl,
Jim,
of Tic Tacs.
I'd like to point out to you all the way along Radio Row here.
Oh,
you can have your own bowl.
Is that a statement?
They're a sponsor.
They're one of our sponsors. Brought to you by Tic Tac.
Jim, you'll
not
also,
just a mint. It's a Tic Tac.
You'll also notice this piece of crap.
Mosquito magnet.
Yeah, they're a sponsor, too.
Do you see any mosquitoes in here?
No, but there's that big West Nile scare.
Amen, brother. So, Jimmy, you do the game tonight, and then are you going right to Augusta?
Right to Augusta in the morning.
What is the deal with Augusta? Where they're, I mean, now no sponsors at all now? They're completely free of advertisers, and that's what it's going to be. Is that going to make it any more difficult? I mean, do 4 minutes and a half?
Did you just hear this? What cave have you been
but
in?
But, I mean,
lately?
No, it's just, he is nasty today, isn't he?
A little rough.
He is really, it's, you know, maybe he's overworked. That's what it might be.
It's like he's just here. What, they're going to have no commercials? We knew that last July.
Well, no, I mean, it's just, I was reading the article about it today, and it's kind of a big deal. And
somebody's been spiking your TikTok.
All right, forget it. I withdraw the question.
So, Jim.
Good question, Mike.
How discouraged did you get on Saturday night? I turned it on, and I walked away for a minute. I came back, and Marquette's losing by 30 points. Mm-hmm. How pissed did you get?
And that's when the game was close.
Yeah. How mad were you? Don't you wish the game would have been flipped in the earlier game?
No, you wouldn't want to do it that way.
Why?
You want a kind of a build-up. You hope, of course, that's not exactly a build-up.
Right.
But you put your, and I'm not in the programming department, I actually thought going in that was going to be the better of the two. I thought it should have been the second game, but they won.
You thought that would be the better of the two games?
I really did. I thought Kansas, after what Marquette had done in Minneapolis, mm-hmm. beating Pitt and Kentucky, convincingly, I thought that would be a whale of a game.
Hey, Jimmy, I missed you at the Redstone wedding.
Yes.
Where were you? I was there.
The marriage made in heaven? What? You were?
I was there. I was there.
You were at Sumner's table, weren't you?
Yeah. I introduced them. She was at Chuck E. Cheese. And
the Sumner of 2003.
There we go.
The good old days.
So the first game on Saturday night was a blowout. The second game was great, went down to the last minute. Why are you looking at me like I'm nuts?
I'm trying to remember the second game. You're right. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. No, the Texas game was a great game.
I love those games. I wouldn't say it was a great game. I know it was a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't think it was a great game.
Compared to the first game, it was a great game.
Uh-huh.
No. Well, it was. Okay. Come on now. Come on, Jim. So, tonight.
Tonight's going to be a great game, right? Yeah, it is. Honestly, it's going to be.
It counts.
I mean, we've gone from a 33-point final to an 11-point final, and we're tracking in the right direction. You know, there's a little history here in New Orleans of having games right down to the wire in the championship. This is the fourth final coming up
in New Orleans history tonight. And the first three have all had very memorable finishes.
Jim, you're the man.
No, I'm
I know
man.
We say you on the phone, but you're the man.
I'm the man.
I can say in person, you're the man.
You're going to take my shirt off right here, right
just
now. That's what you guys are wanting me to do.
I dare you to take your shirt off.
How about Lisa, by the way? You guys asked me about everybody here but Lisa.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, be careful because that's... She's his property.
He's wearing that guy.
Oh, Charlie?
They're you didn't know married. That? She's engaged.
Did you know that, Jim? This is a big announcement for you here.
She's engaged. Let me turn Charlie's microphone on.
It's too late for us?
Lisa, do you mean you didn't tell Jim that we're engaged?
Oh, yeah. That's like the Bonnie Bernstein thing.
Turn about. All right. Mm-hmm. So I just saw that on her screensaver page
it's you.
Was my mug. But maybe, is that Charlie's computer? He's the one working it right now.
No, it's Lisa's computer.
What do you think of them as a couple, Jim? I think it's a mismatch. I think it's worse than Marquette, Kansas.
Wow. I like that.
So the numbers for the game.
I like Lisa minus 32 and a half.
The numbers for the games have been down because of the war and all the other stuff. What are you doing? You're touching Charlie Brilliant? What are you doing over there?
He's misbehaving. This is his opportunity to just cut loose and have a good time, I think.
You animal.
Don't you guys come on the show with us tonight.
Sure.
9 and 11:15.
Absolutely.
This will be a fun way to call the final.
We're there. We're there. We'll wear mascot outfits, anything you want us to do.
Network television exposure is very important to this show. We will do anything that's required. And no one's given you more network television exposure than
that's
you.
Right.
You've been a man of your word.
Absolutely, Jim.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Jim, what happened? Did you guys actually see my Yes, Dear?
Yeah. Who else would be dumb enough to tape it just so we could get...
You guys are funny.
Thank you, Jim.
Unbelievable.
No, I bet Jim would be unaware of the little detail we have about Yes, Dear. Just another example of our interns going on to wonderful things. Yeah, that the executive producer of Yes, Dear was an intern.
Greg Garcia.
Greg Garcia.
He was an intern on our show.
At WTEM in Washington.
No, he worked with us at WAVA, but long before that.
Oh, man.
I didn't know.
Thanks for mentioning the other radio.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Oh, and Jimmy.
He's a sharp guy. I'm so happy for him.
I'm watching TV the other night, flipping around, and I totally forgot about your role in Caddyshack. Or no, not Caddyshack. Tink Up. Tink Up.
Yeah. Wasn't Jim in Caddyshack, wasn't he actually the role of the Scottish greenskeeper that supervised Bill Murray?
You were the voice of the gopher, right?
I'm proud of my appearance in
Tin Cup. You got a lot of FaceTime.
No, 19 scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And,
who's counting? You know, I mean, really.
Not you. Well, look at you. You're all full of yourself. I'm proud of you, Jim.
You're so changed.
And you know what I've noticed?
You're looking around. You're getting bored already.
No, are you bored with us already? Is that what it is?
No,
Jim's... I tell you exactly what he's doing. This thing. He doesn't want to be on the other radio shows, but he's looking around because he wants the other radio guys to know that
you
he's
got
here.
The exclusive.
That's right. He's here.
I see some familiar voices.
Or are you planning your escape, Jim?
No. You know, I came over here. I told you yesterday. Where did you have dinner, by the way, last night?
We were at Pato. Last night we went to an awful
Arnos. It's a legendary place. What is it, Arnos?
Mm-hmm.
What's the pronunciation?
Arnos.
I used to live here as a young child.
Okay.
All right. Yesterday we were at Pat O'Brien's.
I was there a couple times.
And for a goof, we said, let's call Rudy. So we call Rudy up, and Rudy says, hey, I can't talk, I'm in a meeting. And we said, who are you in a meeting with? I'm with Jim Nance.
Yeah.
So I said to Lisa, we'll get him on the phone to make sure that he's going to come by the show tomorrow. So I want Jim.
He took 30 minutes of my time to extract that great one-sentence quote.
What do you got for me here? Oh,
this is Jim Nance's filmography.
Ah, Scrapple. What is that?
What is Scrapple?
What the hell is Scrapple?
It's an awful meat product, I think, that comes from the scrotum of a pig.
Were you in a movie called Scrapple?
Yeah, I was the voice of Scrapple, but I never saw it. In fact, I'd forgotten about it until I just saw it right here.
Could you give us just a sentence about what Scrapple was?
Yes, I was in Arliss. I was in Yes, Dear. It says 2000, though. I mean,
that's wrong.
And I was also in a voice in Everybody Loves Raymond.
No, oh, that's right.
I remember that. That's pretty interesting. Now, what does it give you details on this thing? This is on a web page.
IMDb.com.
Uh-huh. Scrapple.
No, we're finding out more about it.
I think, I think the show has slowed down enough now that we can maybe move on.
Okay.
It might be a really good idea.
Make sure we got paid for that, okay?
Jim, that little thing you were looking at, that's a little invention called the Internet. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but...
Never heard you can look these things up, man.
Sure, you can look up anything.
Now, if I went to this page and looked up your two notable careers in acting, what would I find?
Jim,
did they really say no commercials of the Masters back in July?
Jim?
may have been June.
Okay. All right, I'm sorry. I'm really, you know, it's the first time I read about it was today, and I was
come on.
It was new to me. It was new to me.
Uh-huh.
I just, you know, it's a big, USA Today. It's not in USA Today.
Are you really down about it? Would you like to come down to Augusta and protest?
I'd like to come to Augusta on, someday I will get there. I'd love to go to that golf tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, you asked, and I'll answer. Adventures of Briscoe County, Babylon 5, mm-hmm. had not one but two appearances on King of Queens, including speaking role featured performer. Thank you.
On camera.
On camera.
Mm.
Yes.
You're looking at two members of the Screen Actors Guild. That's because your shameless promotion of Leah Remini.
You are correct, sir.
No, that had to have something to do with it.
But, you know,
she's a nice gal.
When you're talking about getting a Screen Actors Guild card, it's kind of a catch-22.
Yeah.
To get one, you have to be in a... It's
card-carrying.
Yeah, you've been in movies. There you go.
Man.
Look, he carries his with him.
You know how we got it? This guy stole... a line. We weren't supposed to have speaking roles, and he said, thank you very much. And when I realized they were doing a second take, and I hadn't said anything, then I said, thank you very much. That's all we said, and we got a SAG card.
That's
great.
It? You did?
That was it?
Yeah, it was fun. What year was that?
Maybe I go back. How long was that? That was 1994.
So, Jimmy, tonight, the game tonight, what time you got to get over there? The game?
I believe at 5:15 here, Central Time, comes on the air at 9,
mm-hmm.
Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see my yesterday appearance? Did you really? Or
yeah,
you
I loved it. I thought you were fantastic.
You just busted up the tape there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love the part where you talk.
Yeah. Don, did you say it?
Yes, I did, Jim.
Come on, you did not.
He watched
the live. Yes, I did.
Two things I've heard more than anything, other than it's the incessant, hey, who's going to win? I hear that everywhere I go.
Yeah.
You know. And then usually that's followed up by who you rooting for? Marquette's going to win because you don't want to ever get into an argument with anything.
I would have asked you that, but the Super Bowl thing kind of I lost confidence in you a little bit.
But hold on, we'll get to that in a second here. But yes, dear, it's amazing how many people have heard that. And the other thing is, walking down Bourbon Street, I have more. I told you this happened at the AFC Championship game. People yelling from the stands, Don and Mike. I hear it all the time.
Jim, it's because you are the man.
You're the man. The whole room just turned around.
I know they did. That's why. It's Jim Nance.
That's right.
There he is. Look at him. Look at what we've turned him into. He turns and waves at people now.
It's a little parade wave,
which is terrific.
So Jim, you were on fire during the regular season. I went with your recommendation, and I lost a major Super Bowl on-air wager because I was so sure, like you, that Oakland was going to...
Was the word automatic used when you were giving us your pick? Was the word automatic? I know that when I was making my wager, I think that seems to be the word that I remembered you saying. Automatic. Or maybe something like take it to the bank. I forget.
Bet the house.
Yeah. Something like that
I think is what I said. portfolio pick. Hey, I went 10-0 in the playoffs against the spread on your show in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So I missed the Super Bowl. Big deal. 10-1.
Some of the biggest game of all time.
Let me ask you, do you think Roy Williams or Jim Boeheim tonight would like their team to make 10 out of 11 free throws? Or 10-11 shots from the field? I rest my case. Thank you.
It's a game-winning shot.
I'm still the grand poobah.
I can come up with an analogy, though, in very poor taste. We lost the
That's
Super
what they
Bowl.
Call me, by the way. You know,
lost the Super Bowl, though. You lost the biggest pick.
It's not an official pick because it wasn't on the NFL today. It wasn't our. That's why I lost the juice. But they called me around the studios.
You weren't on TV.
They called me around the studios. To see, they do call me. I have the Graham Minker from my office. Melissa Minker is here, and she can confirm that I am known as the Grand Poobah.
Here's the deal.
So in the hallways of CBS Sports, the
the old adage of you're as good as your last pick is not necessarily something that they...
They don't even know about it around CBS. Ah. They know that I went off happily into the season, 10-0.
All I know is you finished weak. Ouch. You finished very weak.
I'm sorry, what was it again? Our competition all fall long? You guys, you did, your combined wins didn't equal mine?
You know what, you know what you're saying?
I was pathetic.
I admit I was pathetic.
Here's what you were saying with the Super Bowl pick. It's going to be like in the game tonight. If Syracuse wins the first quarter, the second quarter, and the third quarter, but
I hate to tell you this, they're halves in college basketball. Right. There are no quarters.
All right,
Look, you broke it down in fourth.
Okay,
but if Syracuse wins the first half and wins half of the second half, and then Kansas comes back. Then what Syracuse says, but we won the first half and we won half of the second half.
Went for most of the game.
There you go. Yeah.
Well, I guess though, if you're talking in gambling parlance, that
parlance
that it's not enough. I mean, last time I checked, for those who do indulge, and I don't, but the people that took my
public
playoff long, all the entire playoff system, I think they got paid in some real money, real dollars. Now I didn't go tell them bet 10 times what you've already made on the Super Bowl.
So are you saying your regular compulsive gambler, your diseased gambler, your Gambler's Anonymous kind of gambler?
That's exactly how I was going to describe you earlier when you asked.
He's the kind of guy that's going to go with you all season, probably not bet the farm like you recommended on the Super
Bowl.
Right.
I did do that.
You did say that, Jim.
You know, I think we have to come back next fall and have to do this all over again.
Amen.
You got that right.
It was a lot of fun.
You got that right. So when you're done with the game tonight, you go right to
Bourbon Street.
Now, are you going to get on a plane tonight to go to Augusta or are you going tomorrow?
I'm
going to
go tomorrow.
And then, when you're done with the Masters, are you going to take any time off at all?
No, we have 10 events in a row, 10 straight weeks. And
do you get a chance to play when you go up there to cover it? Do you get, I mean, not have any kind of...
We have too much going on.
Right.
You know, we've got... the openings to the shows to write and help put together and other obligations and just trying to make sure I have some hand-on-hand contact with some of the players so that I kind of get what's...
Serious question about the Masters, because I am a huge golf fan. How much has all this controversy surrounding the Masters, how much is that going to affect the tournament? It's still... Isn't it the highest-rated tournament of the year?
Always.
Always?
By far.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's the question?
The question is, how is it going to affect... Don't give me a hard time. I really want to know. This is me, okay? We've been talking about football. He gets football. We're talking about basketball.
Are you
I'm curious.
Fan?
I'm a huge golf fan, and I'm an 8-handicap golfer.
Wow.
Thank you very much. Yes.
Where do you play?
I play... It's a Robert Trent Jones in...
Big time.
Now I know Mike
big
is time. Really into this, because that's always a huge secret that we keep our...
That's right.
I did the grand opening
at
your old house there. Black Tie event. You weren't there then.
No, I didn't get a chance, no. I actually... I'm a caddy master. they let me in.
That's
they,
a real
they
job.
Foolishly let me in.
That's a great place.
Mm-hmm.
Do
you remember my question?
It had something to do with Augusta, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, how is this going to affect the tournament?
Hey, Jim.
In terms of if you're playing in the tournament?
As far as popularity, is this,
ratings will be off the charts. Ratings will be off the charts.
It's not going to even be a blip on the radar screen.
Ratings will be off the charts. The fact we have no commercials is totally immaterial and of no consequence to CBS.
Okay.
Because it's not like tonight. When we go to commercial, we're in a timeout.
Right.
No ball in play.
Right.
When you go to a commercial in golf, you're missing action.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the greatest thing that could ever happen to us is there's no commercial.
So the Masters, Augusta National Golf Club, is paying CBS to broadcast the tournament.
I don't know exactly what the financial arrangement is.
I'm just curious about
it. No, but if you'd like to ask Hootie on your behalf, I'll be happy to. But I'll say this, in terms of how...
Eddie Johnson.
How will that affect the tournament?
Mm-hmm.
If you're Tiger Woods, you're Phil Mickelson, any of the players, zero. Okay. Zilch.
Let's be honest, Jim. It's a man's world. It's a man's world.
He's been reading up on it, too, you see.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a man's world.
I'm going there to cover the golf tournament.
Lady. Well, she won't be playing
I was
Augusta
just wondering whether we'd have Hooters girls or something at the turn now or something like that now at Augusta or something now. Who knows?
No, listen. When the tournament gets started on Thursday, and you're Tiger Woods, you're going... to attempt to become the first three successive years in a row champion.
Right.
Do you think he's actually going to have any concerns about anything else that's happening anywhere?
Give a rat's ass.
Jim?
You know, it's a stupid question. I don't know why I even asked it.
I came all the way down here. I drive all the way down here for that.
Very nice. Jim, what,
I just wanted to ask a golf question.
What medications are you currently taking? I mean, really, are you on Xanax or...
Go easy on the Tic Tacs, Jim, too. You're going to get a real sugar high.
Are you on Xanax or you got Valium? What are you on? You on what's that one that they had you on for?
Vicodin?
No.
Liquid Demerol?
No. Paxil.
Jameson's Irish Whiskey.
Well, Paxil, yes.
Thanks Celexa. For bringing that up, though. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I was on the Adana, I brought up the fact that I was, for a period of time, Jim, on antidepressant medication. And
I didn't mean that.
It's okay. It's all right. I'm not embarrassed to the fact that I look for treatment, Don. I look for treatment for my depression. It's been a bad year.
Yes, sir.
I've got a great recommendation for you. I can answer your question, Don.
Okay.
This is what I take daily. Okay?
What do you say?
Little known thing. Wheatgrass.
Wheatgrass?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not going to get into that. I don't want to get thrown in the hooscow.
In a liquid form. Fresh.
Mine contains
wheatgrass juice. Wheatgrass juice.
Wheatgrass
it's a huge
juice.
Thing wheatgrass? Out in California. All your listeners know this. It's the greatest thing you can ever do to your immunity system.
Does it taste good?
Take 1 ounce a day.
Really?
Got to find a juice bar to be able to do it, though. And certain cities, I know exactly where to turn.
Wheatgrass.
If I can get it 3 or 4 days a week, I am golden. 1 ounce of wheatgrass is the equivalent of
gnarly.
5 pound serving of vegetables in one little 1 ounce. Yeah. I mean, it tastes just like freshly mown lawn.
It is
delicious.
Even in a 1 ounce form, though, I'm not down with the vegetables.
This takes care of it. Just
I like 1 ounce.
I like
my starches and my fries.
Sounds like witchcraft, you conjurer.
No.
So you probably get.
I'm in the wheatgrass.
It's in voodoo territory down here. You probably get plenty of the wheatgrass down here, right? You know, where they're putting spells on people.
Hocus pocus, Jim.
This is a great. Antioxidant. I mean,
antioxidants are important.
It's supposed to be a great preventative for cancer, too.
Right?
Yeah. Ready, scatty.
I would send you some fresh wheatgrass, but, you're supposed to drink it right away. After
really?
It's been
okay.
Put through the strainer.
I'm going to try it. Right now,
you don't realize it. You're 60-some-odd stations. I would say there are literally tens of thousands right now who are on the road shaking their head feverishly and saying, right on, Jim.
Because it makes you feel so darn good.
Hey, you know how much I'm up in the air traveling and all over the place, exposed to all kinds of colds and
Rob, could I have
creeps?
Could I have it with a mixed drink? Would the magic disappear if I had it with vodka?
Little Grey Goose?
Yeah. See, and
never heard of that.
You knew that the vodka of choice, Grey Goose.
French product.
If you want to boycott the French, though, you got to go with Vox vodka, V-O-X.
Okay.
Have Vox, a little wheatgrass, and a little tonic, and you're good to go. You're going to rock.
Where did Don get such a big tan? I mean, that is unbelievable.
He tans very well.
This is swarthy. Yeah.
This is a tan like from his last vacation.
I'm swarthy.
Are you there? You're the only guy I know who comes and does a radio show with makeup on.
Oh, come on, look at me.
That's him. That's real.
I'm quadroon.
Quadroon.
That is,
I'm looking now at these massive biceps. And
you know what? F you, Jim. I'm coming over there. I'm going to show you my pants size. I swear to God I am.
Here we go. Now, this had to happen. This had to happen at some point.
There's no stopping him.
All right, he's coming over right now. He's checking it out.
That's a 38.
Jim is really checking him out as he walks around.
38 waist.
There you go. All right.
I'm proud of weight loss.
Oh, no.
Oh, dear. He's opening his pants.
Himself
you know what?
Where's the
what
camera now?
What are you doing?
Now?
What are you doing? No.
We don't need that.
Jim.
We don't need that, no.
Read the label. What's the label say?
Bourbon Street.
What's it say? Read it.
Jim.
Read it, please. Just go away if you read it.
38.
Thank you.
Wow.
Put them back on. Pull them back on. Please. Pull those pants back up. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Are you okay?
Are you all right, Jim?
Oh, man, I'm not sure I can do the broadcast.
You might want to try that with Augusta.
The game is on.
Oh, my God.
He's been dying to do that around
Geronimo.
You.
He was waiting for an excuse. He would have done that no matter what. He was looking forward to that.
The end of another friendship.
Jim?
Unbelievable.
Is this a high point in your broadcast career right now?
It's definitely reached a milestone point.
Don't F with me about my weight, Jim.
It's a serious subject.
Can you believe that?
You doubted I was in a 38.
God.
I'm in a size 38, and I'm proud.
You've done it all in radio.
radio.
I'm not like you. I'm not like a 31 or whatever you are, but for me, a 38 is damn good.
He's a fit, man. There we go.
Well, what size are you, Jimmy?
Well, you've got probably the
label's on the outside.
Well, we're not going to drop them to find out, but they're 36.
36.
Listen, while we're at it, let me take my shirt off right now.
So, Jimmy, tonight, the game...
You're going to stick me right back into the game now?
I don't know if I can do it. I really don't.
Tell me, Mike, did I turn heads when I drop my pants?
You didn't turn. I don't know.
They all turned the other way.
I was too busy staring, and I will tell you that you turned heads, turned on. That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing going on right now.
Let me just say, though, underpants... clean as a whistle.
That's what you say.
Jimmy, the...
Jesus, I'm going to have the same view I had.
Oh. Nancy, the game...
Wow.
Nancy, the game tonight, everybody's going to ask you your opinion, who's going to win. But, and I know you got your stock answer. They're both great teams. But let's be honest, Kansas wins. Yes, no.
He's still recovering from that moment.
Well, don't, you know, you challenged me on that. When I said to you I had, it was a 38 waist, you looked at me incredulously.
Did it get more humid in here? I'm curious. Just send me a picture or FedEx your slacks to me next time.
And then you do this thing about my biceps. Now,
he was complimenting your biceps.
Yeah,
it was a put down.
No, compliment. No. It was a compliment. Totally
the flattering. The put down was when I asked him the Masters question.
Yeah. No, final question.
Yeah. Sensitive guys here, Buzz.
All of us.
Unbelievable.
Jim, final question. We'll let you go because I know you're busy and we do appreciate your time and it's great.
I've had a ball.
It's final question.
Of course, I'm not prepared to call the game now tonight because I've lost an hour here, but
final question.
You'll be having a flashback.
Who did you pick to win the Super Bowl last year?
Last year I picked New England.
Now,
Last year I picked New England. Okay.
You know, I will give you the answer.
Slippery.
Make sure we're taping this, fellas, when you can, so you can play it back.
Okay.
Okay, so serious prediction.
The last
time there was a major event here in New Orleans. It was last year's Super Bowl, and it was won by Adam Vinatieri with a field goal at the gun.
And that is significant
because tonight there will be the most significant
three-pointer hit
in the Superdome since Adam Vinatieri.
Wow.
I expect a very similar finish to the Super Bowl of a year ago.
Syracuse will be nailing the three at the buzzer. That's what you see happening. The Orangemen will be national champions.
Let's just say this. If you swallow one of these Tic Tacs the wrong way, I may have to reach over that table and give you the Heinrich maneuver.
Ah, there you go.
See, now he's speaking of the goat. Speaking of the goat. Hey,
he's cryptic.
Hey, Jimmy. Hey, Nancy, come here.
Yes.
It's great having you.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I came all the way down here for that. It was a pleasure.
I mean, this is an honor.
Pleasure was mine. And maybe I'll see you guys after the game. I'm going to take a short stroll, just a salute so long to New Orleans.
You know what?
What a great city.
Now, listen, don't be a dick, because we really would like to, if you're really going to go out tonight.
It's a game time decision.
We'd like nothing better than to stroll the streets of New Orleans with you.
It's going to be a mellow night, though.
Arm in arm.
Mm-hmm. Carmelo.
Listen,
Anthony.
We got a 5 a.m. flight out of here tomorrow, so it's got to be
what time?
5 a.m. So it's got to be mellow. I mean,
are you on the 5 o'clock to Atlanta?
We got to leave at 5.
Do you hate to reveal that so that all your fans in Atlanta can come there and hang out with you for the hour
we're going to D.C. But I mean,
going to Washington.
We got to leave.
No connection.
We have to leave New Orleans.
It's a private jet.
Private jet. It's like what I had. And yes, dear, you heard me talk about that.
Yeah.
That's
right. Me. I got a plane.
I got it on tape, Jim.
It's impressive.
I would say you said the Jim Nance.
Jim Nance is on fire today.
Yeah. No kidding. Jim Nance is on fire.
Yeah.
And after having you on the telephone so many years, it really is great.
Hey, we've been talking about getting together in Washington, rendezvous in New York.
Absolutely.
And it took New Orleans to bring us all together.
Anytime you are welcome on this show, you know that it's always a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you, my man.
Really.
Nancy, a lot of fun.
Guy.
Loosen me up for the broadcast tonight. It's going to be the best one ever, thanks to you.
All right. Thank you, Nancy. Get out of here now.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Go do what you got to do.
Great job.
Nancy. Ain't she great?
That was fantastic. And you, I'll tell you, I'm going to have flashbacks on that one. That was something very, very, you wanted to show him that waist size. You really did.
Well, the bastard's challenging me.
I understand. You went right for it. And, I always forget that you wear briefs. I always forget that. I really, we've got hats.
Oh, you got hats?
Very nice. Very nice.
Thank you, Jimmy, for the hat, the CBS hat.
Well, don't you have a more expensive one? Slightly more expensive. Like, get out
I'm not sure it's going to fit around your head. All right.
You had that.
Not after this segment.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you, Jimmy. Bye-bye. There goes Nancy. Bye, honey. She's great.
Doesn't pay.
She's great. One more?
He's doing one more.
He's doing one more?
Cheating.
Yeah. Cheat on us?
Cheat.
What, are you going to cheat with those guys? You're my bitch.
Larry begged him.
Larry? What do you mean, Larry? You begged him to go on the mic in the Mad Dog show?
Thanks a lot, Larry.
I didn't beg anybody to do anything. What are you talking about?
It's the knees. I saw it.
Thanks a lot,
that's
Larry.
A fib.
At best, it's a half-truth.
Well, don't worry, because they won't get it. You know, no. They'll ask him all the stuff.
He's going to go over and be bored.
The Mad Dog is the weird one.
I very much doubt they'll take their pants off.
When you game tonight. Who do you like? Who do you like there?
Yeah. Listen, I'll take a lot of crap from Nancy, because I give him a lot of crap. But don't challenge me about my waist size.
It was a beautiful moment in the history of this broadcast when you, and I have to paint the picture because I was in shock and I was speechless. You walked over, you're an inch away from Jim's face, and you dropped your pants. I mean, you didn't just open like your waistline to show him the waist size on your pants. You went down to your knees where we saw briefs and everything else. It was truly a wonderful moment.
He saw the cotton.
Yeah.
Nice.
Saw the cotton.
Nice.
All right, well, there's Nancy. We got a nice long segment out here.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to know we finally put the we put all the baby stepping with him.
We did.
That it finally paid off with a face to face.
Very good. Always a pleasure.
And Mike, I just want to tell you. And I don't know why he was giving you such crap about the Masters.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You read the sports section of USA Today. It's the easiest sports section to digest it all. And there was just a big deal about the Masters coverage today. And he was just, you know what? He was all full of pee and vinegar and really wanted to play time.
I didn't want to say this to his face because he is now a friend of ours.
He is indeed.
Now, especially that we've met him. But the Jim Nance of 5 years ago, first off, wouldn't have the balls to come to something like this.
He'd hide in his hotel room.
And second, would never dare backtalk a disc jockey, much less room service, the guy that's menu wrong.
Right. You know, he is a lot of fun, and we have noticed the change over the years, and he is now a blast to have on the show.
We got a break. We got a break. Don't blame it on me. Blame it on...
Absolutely.
Yeah, Jim Nance, right?
Right.
Jim, what did you think of the show, huh?
Unbelievable.
Huh? What did you think of my stomach, huh?
Unbelievable.
Huh? What did you think of those underpants?
Unbelievable.
How about that 38 waist, huh?
Unbelievable.
Okay.
Trying to make you proud, guys. Was that okay?
That was great, Jim. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And you can get news, weather, and the latest news and weather on Fox 5 News at noon. They will see you again tomorrow to drive safely.
All right, we're in the victory circle. I can't get it. Here it comes. It's chicken tikka tikka.
The Don and Mike Show. If you please, their show is filled with blood and cheese. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
We're live in New Orleans with the Final Four. Don't forget, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, every day, including today, we're giving away a vacation to Las Vegas.
Wow.
We'll do it at some point here on the show. Thanks again to Nancy. What do you do over there? 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah, like I'm hugging. Hugging that douchebag district.
I hate him. Yeah, it's funny.
Hugging Jamie Farr. Yeah. Blow that giant nose, Jamie.
Nice.
There you go.
Yeah, right. I hate him. Oh, hugs all around. Hugs.
We think the waist size on that other guy is.
No. Mike. I guarantee he's not going to drop trowel.
Mike Francesco or Francesco or whatever his name is.
Who the hell? Are we jealous, Petty? Yes, we are.
Sure we are.
God damn it.
We're in a room of DJs.
I hate DJs.
And that guy, Jamie Farr.
He's the number one. Absolutely.
He was one of the guys at this Westwood One function we were at.
No, he got up and made a little speech.
Yeah. Get up and get ready, everybody, because I think the rest of the show is just going to be the tale of what happened over the weekend.
All right.
We passed on Jerry Tarkanian For any of you diehard basketball fans,
we apologize.
You're screwed. I mean, unless Bobby Knight walks through the door right now.
Now, that's a different story entirely.
The rest of this show is just going
to
be...
Because I want to try to get him in a fight.
Well, let's...
yeah, let's, that's right, just by pushing him in the chest.
hey, Bobby Knight. Let's,
General.
Let's pick up Saturday.
Do.
All right.
Where it's Robbie and me and Mike, and we're at Harrah's Casino.
You too.
Now, we
you,
walk
you
in.
You crack me up.
Now, you have to at least give me credit that my attitude...
Your attitude improved. Both of you were funny when we sat down. And here's let me explain what I think is funny about you and Rob and the way that you two react. In many cases, similarly to a lot of different situations. And it makes me laugh. We sat down, and we had a bad run. We got housed. And I've had that happen before. You two... The way you guys were acting was like it never should happen ever. Because I guess you had a good experience in Las Vegas when you were out there with winning.
We did.
And it was funny, the hatred that was generated out of that losing streak.
I won that time that I was with you in Atlantic City.
That's
I
right.
lost, but came back and
yeah.
won.
But, now, I don't think I'm telling any secrets here when I tell you that if you do that for a long period of time, the odds... You're going to lose.
Mike, I know the house always wins.
Yeah, but shouldn't you win at least 1-4?
Not necessarily, no.
Here's the deal. We walk into this place, Harrah's, and we're looking for a $5 table, a $10 table.
10 would have been ideal.
None to be found.
No, we were in the wrong part of the room, unfortunately.
So it's a $25 goddamn blackjack table that we sit down at. $25.
Mm.
The dealer... Rob was nice enough to note his name.
Yes, a good name.
First name, Hep. Last name pronounced...
Signorio.
Hep Henu. This guy had the personality of the bandage on my toe.
Yeah.
He had a facial tic, which was very subtle, but he was highly unpleasant. He didn't want to speak to anybody, and it was very, very difficult having him. There goes bye, Jim.
Bye, Jimmy.
Hey.
He almost dropped his trowel.
He's unbuckling.
Bye, Jimmy.
There he goes.
Bye, Nancy.
All right.
Great lady.
I love doing that to his face, Nancy. So the deal is... They've got tables there where you play for $100 a hand.
Sure.
$500, $1,000.
High rollers.
Hey, listen, for us, $25 a hand, when my wife has given me $200 to gamble with, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I got my whole wad right there. I say, give me the 8 chips, let's play. This guy, Hep Hanai. Hep Hanu.
Right.
Here's the thing, the mannerism when he would deal the cards. For instance, at one point I think Mike had 20.
I had 20 showing. Anybody that has gambled understands what I'm talking about here. When you're sitting at a blackjack table and you got like a hard 20,
right.
You've got two face cards or you've got a 10 card and a king, it's 20. You're not taking another card. You're not going to do that. And he would wait and stop the whole game if you weren't giving him the hand signal. Now, is that by the book dealing? Yes, that is by the book dealing. But you know what? Most dealers really, if they're hip at all, they're not going to bust your balls on that.
Him.
Now also,
yeah.
right.
Also, he got mad at a guy when a guy had like 2 fives, and he would—is that double down?
Split him.
He would split them, and then.
Or you could double down on that too.
He would get mad when the guy didn't indicate quickly enough,
right.
If he wanted another card or not,
and he didn't have any. He didn't speak at all. He would just be like, kind of click, right.
And here's the thing.
That's not right.
We watched him. I mean, he cleaned us out. And
had like 421s in the shoe.
He had, we played 6 hands. He had 421s. Rob and I, and we were mad at him. Because Rob lost 100, I lost 200.
It was personal.
I will tell you, because I probably gamble more than you guys, and I was still, at that point, I'm like, I'm going to get up. And this, I didn't tell you guys this, but that was in my mind. I was saying, I'm going to get up and go, just try to get it back, But that was it. We were done at that point, right? We were finished because I was...
Part of the deal with me is I went to the machine and, it's a cursing and a bless. It's a blessing and a curse.
Mm-hmm.
A curse and a blessing that
right, both.
My wife has put a limit on the amount of money that I can take out of my account.
Yeah.
I go to the ATM, Robbie's standing there with me, and I said, well, that won't give me any more money. I said, look at the balance, says like $600.
You've right. Been like three times.
But you are blessed in that regard because you will never lose a tremendous amount of money gambling because you're not allowed.
Right, because she set it up that there's a minimum amount of money I can take out every day. Mm-hmm. Rob said to me, you can take it off a credit card. I said, yeah, right, if I want to go home like with one of my
balls. And you know, maybe it's my life.
Balls in a bag.
Maybe it's my new life, my single life that I've had since June where I've been on my own and answering to nobody.
Right.
And it's kind of different to hear, and I forget it, but I mean, I'm sure I was the same way. It's just listening to you two, it was kind of like listening to two kids that were like, you know, going to get in trouble if they, and I, you know, I understand that situation.
And I would get in trouble if I had taken more money. So
right.
After we lost.
Well, you have to say my favorite quote of yours that day is we sat down and immediately we were in a very lightly populated area and the cocktail waitress took our drink order. I think it was a Coke, a Diet Coke, and an Amstel Light. And she brought them over four hands later. I mean, really, like 2 minutes later and said, here you are. How are you doing? And Don says, very good. I'm going to enjoy this $200 Diet Coke.
So. And this guy, Hep Hanoi.
Hanoi.
Well, he's Hep Hanoi for my money. Robbie and I walked back later and watched him just clean another guy out of $700 in less than 2 minutes. And here's the thing that's a pisser about this. As opposed to a car dealer that I had later in the day when I was up and winning, but she was pleasant even when I would lose a hand.
Right.
The thing about this guy, Hep, is he didn't say a goddamn word. And here would be the deal. Everybody would have their cards out. He would go, he would have a six showing.
Yeah.
Then he would go, three, make nine. Three, make 12. Two, make 15. Six, make 21. The guy would take like six cards.
Yeah. It was just a long
which run. Is really, it's making it the hard way. And it was hard to watch. It really was.
So we hated Hep Hanoi. He pissed us off.
He's evil. Everything
was
wrong.
It was pretty much time to just vacate the premises at that point. Even though I wanted to hang in there. Because Don really has a new role for me on the weekend. It's controlling my gambling. Because you basically have disciplined me now on
not
two
well
separate
enough, Saeed.
Not well enough tonight either.
We watched you play some slots before we left.
Right.
The lady had the big score.
Oh, now, there was a lady who looked like...
Yeah, there's nothing like sitting down next to a lady that does that at a slot machine.
You only missed it by one machine, Mike. Be proud.
Yeah, first off, Mike's playing his favorite machine, the Wheel of Fortune. And I want to sit down in the chair next to Mike to watch Mike play the slot machine.
Uh-huh.
But as it turns out...
The 800-pound woman had seven machines that she was using?
I can't sit in the chair... Because this incredibly fat, Eddie Murphy, like Nutty Professor fat lady, was playing two machines at once.
Right, and she was playing two machines, and I had to hip her to the fact when I looked at her payoff line that she had won an incredible jackpot.
Big one. Wow.
$2,000, and she didn't even know. She was in such a piggy frenzy to feed that machine, the dollars that she was really ready to just keep going, and she had won a windfall, and then, you know, they had to come over with all the Gus security guys.
She says, how much I win? And the guy says, $2,000. She goes, no! And Mike's looking at her. Mike says, you won $2,000.
She screams.
Yeah, she screamed like she was on the Price is Right.
She won a car.
Yeah! She starts screaming.
Yeah.
And now it was at this point that Mike said, take the money and leave.
Yeah, I mean, because really, that's a score where you're done. I mean, you take
back
a couple hours, and you know, if you want to come back later on in the night.
And she said, baby, I'm not going anywhere.
Right.
And she was talking to her family members.
She was feeding the other machine.
Oh,
she was waiting. She was getting paid off of her $2,000 and still feeding the machine.
Two machines right away again.
Yeah. And
giving it back.
Let me tell you. I'm sure that in my gambling career, I have played the two machines. I hate the more than one machine. That is just like that. You know, it's just piggy.
Obsessive. Obsessive compulsive.
It's right. Kind of a problem.
So,
obsessive compulsive, like when you keep going back when you say you won't.
We leave the casino, And
in the best mood.
Yeah. Well, you know, I had tried, because Mike was busting my balls. You know, Mike was saying, what do you think, you go to a casino every time and you win?
I know. Well, that's what you were acting like that. Like, you know, you go in there and you like you win every time.
Well, I did
like,
go back and win a lot of money, and then I left.
But most of the time, you're going to lose. If you gamble on any kind of regular basis, like once a year, twice a year, it might take 10 years, but in the long run, they're going to get the money.
Well, now it's three times in a row, though. And I've come out way ahead three times in a row.
That's right. Well, not three times in a row.
Atlantic City, I came out ahead.
No, say me, but are you talking visits or overall trips?
Visits.
Oh, visits. Okay.
Atlantic City, I left with more than I came with.
Yeah, they'll get you.
Vegas, same thing. Same thing here.
They'll get you. They always do.
We leave the casino.
That's how they get you.
And I'm trying not to be a dick. And we had walked around, and I was telling Mike, I'm just mad because I lost. And Rob kind of fuels that in me with the whole Hep Hanoi thing. That I'm feeding off
causes
that.
Causes you to hate more.
Well, I try, but you see, I was the maddest of all because I'm on somewhat of a tighter budget than even you two guys. And my money was gone. I promised Carrie I would spend this much money, and it was gone, and there was no getting it back. I considered the thought of winning it up and winning it back, but I said, no good can come of that.
So we got out on the street, and Mike said, let's get something to eat.
I'm in the... let me just... and I think this sets the table for perhaps later discussion. I'm in a mindset where scheduling wise, you and Rob, I'm going to use you and Rob and myself as an example here. You guys are in a much different rhythm. You guys have been up a lot earlier.
Right.
I'm just really, this is about what, 2 o'clock?
Yeah.
It's about 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Three.
I'm getting.
On Saturday, it was three when we left.
I'm getting ready to ramp it up. Like, in the casino, you guys have lost, and you're both kind of...
pissed.
You in particular, you're discouraged. You want to go back to the room and chill out.
Right.
And so it was determined that we would go... that Rob and I would go get something to eat, and you would go back to the room.
And here's where we'll leave this, and that we're heading up to, and working out great time-wise, where we're going to get to the big part about Mike. I leave Rob and Mike because you guys wanted to get something to eat. There was an incredible line at
Mother's.
But you do appreciate good New Orleans style seafood and all the great cuisine. You're in the home, the real breadbasket of cuisine. And when you said there's a Subway down the street,
I know you got mad at me.
you weren't eating. You were going to go back and.
Well, I just thought if you needed something fast, the line at Mother's was like 80 people.
Yeah, there were hundreds.
And I said,
there's so many restaurants in this town, you don't have to wait in the line.
So there's a Subway right there. You just gave me a look that was like F you. Robbie, I know we got a break. So, Mike and Rob leave at about 3:30. I get a call from Rob at about 5 saying, hey, we're meeting downtown in the French Quarter for dinner.
Rob and I had a wonderful dinner date. We went down to this place called Late Lunch about 3:15. We had this lunch at Dini's Seafood.
Nice.
And it was just ducky. And that's where I decided to switch from beer to double vodka tonic.
Huh. Now, when I talk to... let me just set this up. Give me 30 seconds. Because now we got to run tight because of Nancy. Rob calls me and says, we're going to Desire for dinner. This restaurant, Desire.
Right.
That Buzz has liked and we've all been to. We've liked it a lot.
Yeah.
And, I'm on this goddamn diet. I'm really only eating one meal a day.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to it. I say, great. What did you do with Mike? Rob says, I had something to eat with Mike. Mike's going to meet us down there.
Yeah, I hadn't seen the French Quarter yet.
Mike's already down in the French Quarter, so...
I figured with the timeline, that's
30
okay.
30 seconds.
Anyway.
I'd meet you later, and so that meant that there was...
So Mike had a 2.5-hour head start.
And per Mike's instructions, I issued a warning at that time.
Yes. Yeah, and the warning was, Rob?
I said, Mike has started drinking, and he's not going to stop.
And you started in the casino.
Yeah, I had a beer in the casino when you guys were... pouting and having a Diet Coke.
Yeah, the Diet Coke, incidentally, that we could have got for free later because they got a free goddamn big fountain where you can go get a free Diet Coke, but no, it spent $200. We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gee whiz, gang. Looks like the killer gutted the victim, strangled him with his own intestines, and then dumped the body in the river.
You're right, Scoob. We're dealing with one sick son of a bitch.
The Don and Mike Show.
They talk too much. Don and Mike.
Back in New Orleans. Final four. Final two. What do they call that? The final four.
National championship.
Thank you, Mike. Tonight it's Kansas and Syracuse. Getting back to our weekend in New Orleans. Oh, and the trip to Las Vegas, courtesy of Veramax, we'll give it away before the end of today's show. So, about 3:30, Mike and Rob have parted company, and the rest of us all gather together because we realize that the seats that were promised to us. Would you guys stop having a tic-tac?
I'm sorry. I apologize. That was very unprofessional. I just discovered that the paperclip that you can use can actually launch tic-tacs across the room. Now, if you want,
that is my paperclip, incidentally.
It's a binder clip.
So that I use for stuff with the show.
Oh,
thank you.
thank you.
That's official.
Thank you, gentle person.
It's very difficult when we sit on the same side.
So,
I like it.
I can play with all your stuff.
3:30. It's 3:30, and Rob says to me,
I was getting it out of the way because I thought you wanted to look at your sheet. Hit your laminate.
Oh, here we go.
It's on her sweater.
Oh, a whole bowl of.
All right, now
I'll stop. It's over. I got it out of my.
Now we've thrown bowls of Tic Tacs at each other.
Everyone's laughing except the engineers.
All right.
Excuse me, I have to clear my throat.
Of course.
Don't F with my pencil.
I'm sorry. I'll stop now. It's over. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm just nervous.
I know you're nervous.
I'm nervous about the Inquisition.
But
I will answer. I will answer every question you have, and I wish to do this in the Socratic method. You answer, I will answer to the best of my... You ask, and I will answer.
So,
yes.
3:30, Mike is on his own with French Quarter. Rob, Buzz, Charlie, Lisa, me, we realized...
I told Rob when he left, after we had a great lunch at this wonderful seafood restaurant, I told Rob, I said, listen, you're going back, I'm going to stay, I haven't seen the French Quarter, I'm going to walk around and have some fun. When Rob left, I'm just going to tell you, I just got completely caught up in the whole rhythm of the French Quarter.
Sure.
There were like, there was one particular Syracuse rally going on, and I was totally motivated and began to bar hop. Thank you.
So, Barn, I have been debating whether to go to the game or not on Saturday night. As it turns out, our seats were, you know, S.
There were games on Saturday night?
There were two games, Mike, Saturday
night. All right.
Night.
Okay.
Final four.
So, we all left in the cab together. Lisa, Charlie, and thank God that relationship's not hidden anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have time, you know, we don't have time today. But tomorrow we got to devote a couple segments, Rob, to the new Charlie Broyhill.
Oh, yeah.
The new, might as well already be married, pussy-whipped Charlie Broyhill.
We saw a lot of that this weekend.
So we're all in the cab, the five of us, Buzz, those two, me and Rob.
And the new tone of Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa's already starting to give Charlie the we're married tone. The we're married tone. So we're at this place, restaurant, Desire. 6 o'clock, we are right on time. Say we got a party of six. One's joining us. We get a table right by the window. And now keep in mind, there are no windows. It's a big space. It's like a barn door.
Great place. Great open air restaurant.
Terrific. Doors. They've got big freedom doors.
Mm-hmm. And
French doors.
At one point, it's five after six. And that's when we start having the conversation. Rob, exactly what time did you leave, Mike?
Exactly. We're trying to sort of figure out...
3:30.
And Rob says
right?
at 3:30. So Mike's been... And I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. Everybody is saying, well, you've only been on your own for 2.5 hours. I said, you only had maybe 3 beers at the casino.
Right.
I had 1 beer at the casino.
No, you had at least what, no, at least two
beers. 2 beers at the casino.
Remember the girl wanted to charge you for the second one?
Had many more with Rob at lunch.
Ah,
but not beer.
No.
Vodka.
So now here's the best part, everybody. The five of us are sitting at the table.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly coming up to one of these doors, and picture in your mind the beginning of the TV show, Mr. Ed. When Mr. Ed opens the doors and his head comes out and he goes, hello, I'm Mr. Ed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's like that. Out on the street, we see all the... You know what New Orleans is like. Mardi Gras, Super Bowl, whatever.
Literally like a Mardi Gras band out there.
Right.
It's a party.
All of a sudden, Mike shows up at the window. And Mike has not one, but two women on each arm. I mean, he has a total of two women.
Right. One
he has one in each arm.
Right. Mike's sandwich.
And he looks at us and says... Hi! And we all looked up, and I guess our jaws all hit the table
yes,
about this.
It was a
time.
Wonderful look. I'll treasure it forever.
And Mike said, these are my new friends. We're going to dinner.
We were.
Goodbye!
We're going to dinner at another restaurant.
Yes. And well, there didn't appear to be any room at our table, at your table.
And he walked away. Now, I think I was the first to say to Rob, this is a gag.
Mm-hmm. He'll be back.
This is a gag. He'll be back. Yeah. And yes, he did come back.
Right.
But he came back just to show us the girls again. He came back 2 minutes later.
Right.
And just waved and smiled. Had his arms around both of them. I'll tell you that...
We went up to Jimmy Brennan's, a very famous steakhouse here in New Orleans.
They appeared, Mike, I'm sure they were street legal.
Mm-hmm.
They appeared to be...
They were youthful.
Under the barometer that you have set for dating.
Well, you know, I think maybe... I know on the case of one, you're right.
She had to be...
Early 20s, and I believe the other one was...
21, I think.
24, and being that the cutoff age is 25... but they were, you know, one of them said she wanted a lobster, and I said, I'll buy you a lobster, and we were off.
We had these girls. One of these girls had a set of jugs on her. The girl with the tube top.
Right.
She had big jugs.
They were they could not have been more charming. They were lovely, lovely ladies.
And the other girl had painted on mascara that was...
Glittery.
Like sparkly.
Yeah, sparkly.
Sparkle.
And one of them had on like a belly shirt that had a big star on it. So, after you walked away the second time...
Yes.
I was still saying to everybody at the table...
That I was going
to
come back?
I kept saying... Yeah. Okay, now, you know what?
I was way too drunk to be doing that. I couldn't think that far ahead.
I said, I'll give him credit. That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's one.
Good gang.
Man.
You know, I will remember forever all of you because you all had the exact same look on your face, which was just...
Can you imitate it?
Immediately try... Well, it was all, at least in particular, mouth agape.
Really?
Just kind of like... Just staring up there with the mouth hanging open, just going, what is that? That's why I came back for a second bow. Come on, ladies, let's go. And it was just wonderful.
You
wonderful
show up
see.
With these two girls, one on each arm.
Both natives of New Orleans.
Loud as can be. Hi!
Mm-hmm.
These are my new friends. I'm taking them to another restaurant.
You know, seriously, the whole design of the thing was to get that reaction, and I was so happy that the timing worked out as well as it did, and I think I love Lisa's expression, but your expression was even better because you were kind of the mouth agape, but yet the twinkle in the eye look.
I was happy for you.
It was a funny, funny moment.
And once I realized it wasn't a joke,
right?
You can ask these guys. I was even happier for you. I said,
well, you know, they were happy at the restaurant where we walked into. Those girls seem to bring happiness wherever they go.
They provide joy.
Was it similar to a scene in the movie Arthur?
It was very similar to a scene in the movie Arthur. And for some reason, when we got to the restaurant, and as I introduced the girls as my daughters, the waiters seemed to spend more time at our table than any other table in this very staid, established shishi restaurant here in New Orleans.
Question and answer. Here we go.
Yes. Go ahead. I will answer it as best as I can, protecting the names of the innocent. I will answer every question.
Do you know their names?
No.
Their first names?
I do not. I have forgotten their names.
Did the girl with the big jugs, in your opinion, it leads to another question, were they real or fake?
They were real. And I don't have to be, you don't have to ask me that again. I know that they are real.
Was she wearing a bra?
Yes, she was.
What about the other one?
Yeah, I think she was too, but I'm not sure.
Huh. Did you bang them?
No, I did not.
Oh.
Hey, you know, I only had them for an hour and a half.
Did They put,
no, they weren't paid for it. They were just, they had an hour and a half break from the restaurant where they were working.
Was there a handy?
No. No, they were on break.
Did you get oral?
No, I did not.
Did you get the stinky pinky?
No, I did not.
Did you get a kiss?
Yes.
Ah. Tongue?
No.
Where did
forehead? Forehead, Charlie.
Where did you? Where did
I hate to let everybody down, but the real reason for the whole thing was because I got out of that whole dinner date what I wanted, which was the whole reason for that. I was so loop-de-looed. The whole reason for my little conspiracy was to walk by the restaurant and see you guys there. And after we had dinner, they went back to work, and I went out and rendezvoused. My evening wasn't over. I ended up with a bunch of Marquette fans drowning their sorrows. And you know what? Can I just say, the Marquette fans are the best goddamn fans in basketball. I had a fantastic time with them. But no, I'm hard-pressed to remember the
name. There are holes in
the
story. I just wanted to say officially.
Okay. Well, go ahead. Ask any questions.
Well, no, we have to break.
All right.
But there are holes in the story.
Mm-hmm.
That you could drive the truck.
Explain, like, what would be a hole that you're concerned
okay.
about?
And you're my buddy.
Yes.
However.
Right.
I don't fully believe that you hooked up with these two girls just to play a gag on us. I think.
Well, no, I enjoyed their company.
Yes,
don't get me wrong.
Okay, all right.
No, I mean, that was part of it, too. Sure.
I think that that happened, and then you realized, oh, wow, this is really going to flip everybody out. I don't think you went to a bar, wherever you met these girls, and picked them up and said, thinking to yourself, boy, I will make their jaws drop.
Uh-huh.
I think you went and you met them and you said, I'll buy you dinner.
Right.
You want a lobster? And then along the way it became, oh, wait a minute, hold on. This is going to be really great.
As on my children's lives, wow. as soon as the entire evening was planned, that was, and it still is.
Then why didn't you just dump them outside the door and join us for dinner?
Well, because they wouldn't have been with me if I wasn't going to buy them dinner.
You could have lied to them.
Oh, I didn't want to do that. They were nice ladies. I didn't want to do it. And then after an hour and a half, they were gone. They were gone.
And they're gone.
And you guys, I didn't know that you had gone to another restaurant. And we actually came back by, and I looked in. I figured you'd be gone anyway because it was about an hour and a half. But no, the real joy of that whole thing was based on you guys.
But you didn't bang the one with the big boobs.
No.
Really?
No. No.
You didn't touch him?
No, I got a. I didn't. Unfortunately, no.
Polygraph time. Mm-hmm. We have to break. No. We really have to break. You should have seen those girls' jugs. We will. But I'm proud of you either way, Tiger.
It was fun.
I'm proud of you.
It was fun. Yes, it was. It was fun. But you know what, Don? I got to be honest with you. A lot of my weekends end the way that one did.
We'll be right back.
Is the Don and Mike Show.
Young lady, what do you want to do with your life?
I want to live in a van down by the river.
Well, you'll have plenty of time to live in a van down by the river when you're living in a van down by the river.
The Don and Mike Show.
Learn to listen. Listen to learn. The Don and Mike Show.
New Orleans, and the Final Four, and we're here, and
oh my God, I didn't even recognize
Joe Rockhead.
Lisa's got Joe Rockhead on her screensaver from his appearance on CNN.
He looks like Regis Philbin back when he was doing the Joey Bishop show.
Now, you know, I'm realizing because we went so long with Nancy that I'm going to have to keep a lot of my questioning of Mike. Save it.
Not
for,
over yet.
Save it for tomorrow.
Oh no! Get it over with today.
Because Mike, there's so much.
Please,
that,
you're saying there are holes. I want to.
Frankly, there are so many things that I just.
I did not marry these women.
I don't think you married them, but there's an awful lot that I just don't believe.
Oh.
I don't. For instance. I saw you 6 p.m. Saturday night with these two lovely ladies. The next I heard from you, I believe, was 9:30 Sunday morning.
Yes.
When you
you had called me, I missed the call, and then I called you right back.
You briefly awoke, We discussed the news that the NBC guy was dead.
Yes, I was very very disturbed at that story, and I thought I should alert you guys. I didn't realize you guys had been up for hours, and you knew all the stories of the day, and I was just learning these things for the first time.
You climbed back and covered yourself with these sheets for, what, 3 more hours?
I believe the rally time for me was approximately 12:30 in the afternoon.
So we all got up on Sunday morning. At like 6:15
right.
For church. Met downstairs at 7 because we wanted to go to this famous
Cafe Du Monde.
Now, the thing is, it's got the world's strongest coffee, and if you get there very early in the morning, it's great for people watching.
Right.
So now it's all of us. We're all there except for you. We're all there. Even Charlie got up and came with us very
what
early.
What time was this?
See what I mean? The new Pussy Whip Charlie.
He had to go.
We left
7 o'clock in the morning?
7 on Sunday morning.
God, what are you all high?
So we were sitting outside this restaurant, and
right.
we saw people who obviously have been out all night.
Yeah.
And were just rolling in. We saw a woman come up, and this was now approaching 8 a.m. Sunday right. morning. A woman who walked up in front of this place, and she had a gigantic plastic a cup of beer, and she was drinking it as she
at
was
7 o'clock in the morning?
Going on 8.
That sounds like maybe the evening wasn't over yet.
Yeah.
She was standing in front of this coffee place. She chugged half of the beer and then looked at it and just shook her head like, goodbye, friend, and threw it away.
Man, that's 7 o'clock in the morning. That's even more than I can handle.
Yeah.
I don't want to forget the guy that walked up to us, the guy that had just been in a fight.
His face was still bleeding.
Really?
Yeah. The guy came over, and I don't know what I was thinking. I'm like asking to catch AIDS. The guy is bleeding from his face, from his shirt, and he wanted a light for his cigarette.
Oh, my God.
And I let him touch my lighter.
That's what flipped me out. It would be not a big deal if you just lit his cigarette, but you handed over your lighter. I would have let him keep it.
Did he appear like he was ready for another fight?
No, he had just gotten his ass kicked.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he was also bombed.
But he still wanted to experience the nice tourist trap.
You could spot the people that were up all night because their faces were just the color of ash.
Oh, yeah,
just
sure.
Gray.
Right.
People who drink.
So we saw all these people that were drunk, and it was great.
You table of Mormons.
The whole wait staff at this place, Cafe Du Monde, am I saying that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're all Asians.
Yeah, it's weird.
They're all Asians.
On.
And they all kept beating us at blackjack.
So there were these bad-looking party stragglers. There was a guy who, I don't advocate violence.
No.
Unless you really won't listen. But really, I'm a pacifist. But there was a guy making balloon animals. And
I hate that.
With horns?
This guy had like the Charlie Horn, and
balloon animals.
It's too early for that.
No, it's not. It's never too early for balloon animals, Don.
And most of the people that were there were either drunk or hungover or like us, just tired.
I don't understand why people that are drunk at that hour are out and about. Why don't they be like me, just stay back in the hotel?
You're leaving out the people that were disappointed fans of their teams that had just lost.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of
poor Marquette.
Texas Tech also.
Texas, yeah.
Or Texas, rather. Yeah, there's a lot of Texas people there. Now we leave, and we go to, and then we decide we're going to go out, and Lisa wants to have a hurricane.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
famous drink, the hurricane.
Made famous by the restaurant Pat O'Brien's here in the Quarter.
Right.
Now, we've bought a couple of souvenirs, but nothing over the top. Well, we go to this place, and Lisa has her hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
How did you find it, Lisa? Did you enjoy it?
It was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
She had one and ordered a second.
Wow.
And these are big-ass drinks.
Just looking at, like, four or five shots on every drink.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, hold on. Here, let me turn your mic on. There you go.
Hello. I was buzzed probably after the half of the first one.
Oh, my God.
It's a rocket drink.
They're powerful. Yeah.
Man, it's tough when you drink a big, powerful drink like that and you weigh 67 pounds. It's very, very difficult.
So she's drinking hers, and she ordered a second. Charlie, this is why, you know, there's such goddamn puppy lovers. It was like watching two kids at a malt shop because they each had a straw coming out of Lisa's second one of these hurricane drinks.
Right.
Yeah, it looked like a Norman Rockwell painting.
And by this time, Lisa's really ass-faced.
Very chatty.
That's all it is in New Orleans, really. It's just different people reacting to the
you really can't fight the party atmosphere.
No, you can't.
I didn't know at this point.
I don't think I'm going to fight it tonight. Good for you, Mike.
I didn't know at this point that Rob was as gone as Rob was.
I don't know. I didn't have a lot of food in my belly. And
I'll tell you how I knew.
Went straight upstairs. Mm.
Rob was bombed. We went back on the street because there was a bead shop. Like, there's not a bead shop on every goddamn corner.
I'm not down with the beads here.
But there was one in particular, and even I had bought some beads in there. I bought some Superman beads when we were going by.
You will find a superhero. Superman beads.
So we leave this Pat O'Brien's, and Lisa says, I gotta go back and get some more beads. And then we go across the street to another bead shop. Now, in this bead shop, one of you guys, Lisa or Charlie, I don't know which one, spotted in the window, was it you, the Clemson thing? You know, my son's college,
right?
Clemson. So the problem is they only had one, and it was in the window.
Right.
So drunk Lisa found it. Drunk Charlie went and asked the guy to take it out of the window because drunk me, I went over by the window and actually was trying to haul my way through the display stuff to get to it. Meanwhile, while all of this is going on, drunk Rob
is elsewhere.
Rob had at least 15 beads.
Strings of beads.
Strings of beads mm-hmm. around his neck, including beads as big as Christmas ornaments.
Huge. Yeah, well, I was originally sent down to get beads for others. And
right.
then I thought, you know who'd love these is Julia, my daughter.
Sure, it's nice and shiny. It's bright and shiny.
And then I said, well, gosh, you save money if you buy them by the dozen, and these are nice, and these are nice. Grand total, 26 strings of beads.
How much money, how much do those strings of beads cost?
I don't even remember.
Because really, the whole thing about beads, it started with Mardi Gras. Weren't they free?
Right, they throw them
out
to the crowd.
You just throw out beads, and they become quite the tourist item.
You don't get free beads that have monkeys and bananas on them.
No, I guess.
And what about the Confederate flag?
Don't get those.
Oh,
for free.
My God.
Or the ones that are adorned with women. You don't get those.
Hey,
for free.
That's good. I got to find these beads.
Beads are nice.
So I knew these guys were bombed. And I had a nice little buzz going on, too. I had a different drink than the hurricane.
The cyclone.
But I knew Rob was buzzed when he had all of it. And he said, how can I not get them? You get a special price when you get a dozen of them.
You seem to have a limit that you go to, and you don't really go far over that. But I can still, because I've worked with you so long, and I know you so well, I can tell when you've had, like, enough. You have a way of talking that's very, very methodical.
Lisa, Charlie, you will both attest to the fact that on Saturday night at dinner, I caught it. I said,
you did.
I am starting to slur my words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was on my third drink. I said, that's it.
It's good control.
Right. Because now I know, Mike, now I know the signal. Are you calling me?
No, I am not. I am not calling you. I'm not misbehaving.
I just had a missed call.
Yeah, somebody called you?
Oh, and that leads to the next part about the telephones.
Right.
So we're shopping and we're buying all the... Rob also bought beads that had donkeys on them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about those.
And all day, it's hot. It's 100 degrees. I forgot to mention from Saturday, for ladies, if you're in your car right now and you have a moment and you want to get intimate, I'm going to paint a very sexy picture for you. The sexy picture is pool level, the Mark Twain pool at the Hilton Hotel, shirtless by the pool, me, Mike, Rob.
Yes.
Baby.
Buzz.
Hello.
Nice!
It was like hideous.
Yeah. It was.
We were outside.
We were not, and I know you've lost a lot of weight, and Rob and I have not. And I will tell you, it is really.
What?
Your phone is ringing, Don.
Say, what's
He's
that?
He's calling you.
I have voicemail from somebody.
Yeah.
The new Batman beads are in.
I know.
We are quite the physical specimens, you know?
But at one point, the four of us just sitting up there soaking up the rays.
You know that guy, that Al-Qaeda guy, they pulled out of his bed in the wee hours of the morning about a month ago?
Oh, Ron Jeremy.
Yeah. Rob, you got the same body hair pattern as far as, you know, you're like...
Should I
got,
wax like you?
You've got brown hair, but you are, you're a very hairy man. I always forget how hairy you are.
Tell me.
Tell me about it.
Oh, that's right. Buzz and Rob are sharing a room. When we come back...
I forgot about that.
There's a queen-size bed. It's nice.
Yeah. When we come back, we'll tell you about the awful Westwood One dinner we were at last night.
Jesus.
Also, something to do with cell phones.
I loved it.
Mike, you'll find out what huge nipples is about. And
very good.
We'll put Buzz under the Inquisition lights when we come back.
Okay.
And give away a trip to Las Vegas as well. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Some girls are taken advantage of, while others are unashamed of their nakedness.
The Don and Mike Show.
Two petty bourgeois bastards, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Before we wind up this stuff about being in New Orleans, why don't we get you guys? Come over here for a second.
You guys have been nice. You came down from Mobile, Alabama. You've been here all day long. We want to say hello to you.
Hi, what's your names, guys?
Scott.
Mark. Scott. And
Mark.
You are?
Mark.
And you poor guys. I mean, you really did come all the way from Mobile.
Huh? Yeah, we did.
So
you invited them.
Now you guys are going to
the game. We did invite people to come by.
Are you going to the game tonight?
No.
No, we're going to head back home.
Head back home?
Yeah. Wow. Just came down to see us?
Yeah. Was there any problem with the incredible Westwood One security?
No, it wasn't.
You just zipped right in.
Nobody even the coats.
We got free coats and Tic Tacs.
They treated like kings, buddy.
Everybody gets Tic Tacs.
Mike?
Yes.
Cover me for a second.
All right.
I'll be right back.
Okay.
Yeah, very good. I know what he's doing.
Now, the security left.
Now, here's the deal.
Here's the deal. No, wait a minute. If I'm not mistaken, I think, I'm pretty good at reading my partner's mind. I think one of you or both of you is going to have a nice surprise here, okay?
Ooh.
Because, strippers. You know, no, don't. Strippers. Here's the deal. We appreciate anybody that comes down, especially when we're doing like kind of a workman-like show like this, mm-hmm. where we're all in the same room together. Have you seen any sign of Don? Is he
no? He
right
disappeared
thing?
Behind the curtain, and we haven't seen him since.
I think I know what he might be doing, but I'm not sure. But just sit tight, give it a second, because I think you're gonna be okay.
Pay no mind to the man behind
the
curtain.
How's the ratings in Mobile? I mean, with only two
ratings have always been good.
No, you're not.
The ratings in Mobile have always been great. We've been on a bunch of different radio stations there. I think we're on an FM station now, right?
No,
AM now. Weren't we AM and FM? I can't keep
FM 5 years ago.
They kept telling us how great the FM was. And they said, and you're doing great on AM.
See, they've been lying to us in Mobile all the time.
Oh, man.
There you go, boys. I knew he was.
Give us his balls.
What a nice gesture this is.
Seriously. Well, here you go.
Wow.
Here's courtesy of Westwood One.
Thanks, John.
Wilson NCAA Final Four Basketball.
Enjoy, fellas.
You want for everybody to sign, of course.
Do you want Don and Mike's autograph? I can do that.
You know, here's the deal. Would you like Rob to sign our names?
Sure.
That makes it even more special while we're sitting here.
More special because that's how it is.
Hitler's running. We want two Americans.
But they say we don't want Hitler signing.
They don't want Hitler signing. You know.
Anyway, if you go behind this window, they're shutting everything down.
Yeah.
And there's a box back there that earlier in the show had to have 100 of those NCAA Final Four basketballs.
Really?
And now there's. Now there's none left. Because I went back and got one for Rob.
There you go.
And then got the last two for those guys.
Thank you.
Rob, don't forget to sign his ball, too.
I mean, sign them both.
All right, very good.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, fellas. Thanks for coming down from Mobile.
I guess I'll show somewhere we can come to.
Him. Well, maybe we'll come to Mardi Gras in Mobile sometime.
That'd be great.
Don't count on it.
I'll go.
All right, we'll see you guys.
Thanks, guys. Right, thanks a lot.
Bye, then.
So last night, because we are being team players on this trip, and frankly, really, this is the first time that Westwood One has ever asked us to do anything.
Right.
And made us the big thing that's happening, and we're in the press release, and they've you know, it's a half-assed company, but they've done their best. I really think they've tried.
Right?
They've tried to make us feel important.
They have.
So, Friday night, you guys went to the Westwood One thing, and last night...
Yeah, we told you we felt like kind of on the outside.
There was a gathering last night. Now, as it turns out, we went to a restaurant without you on Saturday night, Mike,
mm-hmm.
that... It turns out it's a legendary New Orleans restaurant, and the name of it, Robbie, is...
Arno's. It's one of the best restaurants in the city.
Arno's. And the five of us had a fantastic meal.
Oh, yeah.
So, I was pleasantly surprised.
Does sound sexual, just that man.
It was
that
just good.
That, oh, yeah.
You know me. If I like the food somewhere, I'd like to eat there again.
Yeah.
Well... I find out that this Westwood One thing that they were having last night that we were ordered to go to was at Arno's. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking,
hey,
this is pretty good. I said to Mike, this is the place we ate at last night.
Right.
You're going to love this.
Yeah, and I was kind of missing the opportunity to have dinner with all you guys again. So so I decided tonight I'm going to take advantage of it.
Well, here's the beauty of Westwood One. We have been to Arno's the night before, Saturday night. Myself and the other guys, everybody except Mike. And we experienced the regular dinner presentation.
Right.
When you go to Arno's, and it wasn't Arno's, it was the Arno's Cottage that Westwood One had rented out for the evening,
right.
We received Happy Meal equivalents
yeah.
of the dinners.
Yeah.
And here's where they lost us. We walk in the door, and as soon as we get there, it's like the leper colony arrived.
They don't want to have anything to do with us.
Now, they've asked us to show up.
Invited.
Yeah.
We get there, and immediately it's, oh, hi, there's a nice table. So
they put us in the corner.
We're sitting by ourselves. Meanwhile, all these other schmuck disc jockeys are coming in. This Mike and the Mad Dog douchebag. Well, I don't care.
You're funny, though.
He's the guy I call Jamie Farr, the Mad Dog guy.
Right.
He comes in, and the guy Kevin Harlan, the announcer, comes in with his wife.
They're all their sports guys. They're kind of catering to. Right.
They're ignoring us. As a matter of fact, when we went up to the bar to get a drink, the drinks were so bad that I said to Buzz, and now this is where the Buzz Inquisition is going to happen.
Mine was okay.
I said to Buzz, no. See, there's something hinky here. The drink that we got at Arno's Cottage was 99.9% seltzer water, maybe a little of what was flowing down the streets of New Orleans on Saturday morning, and maybe like 1% booze.
Hmm.
Really, I threw one back, and it was like, I might as well have had a glass of water. Buzz, after a couple of these, was sitting at the table and said, I have never been this drunk in my life.
No. Buzz was drinking his drink of choice, a dirty martini.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
delicious.
At one point, Buzz went outside, and I walked outside, and Buzz said to me, hey, anything you need done,
anything crazy,
tonight,
I'm your guy.
Mm-hmm. Tonight, I'm your guy.
Mm-hmm.
Buzz, the question is, what the F was going on with you last night?
I watched the guy mix my drinks, and they were actually quite strong, and I pounded two back to your first one, and yeah, I was sailing by that time.
I knew Buzz was, something was very wrong with Buzz.
It's
where halfway through the meal, I just hear out of the blue, Buzz looks over and goes, hi, Mike.
I also discovered you know you're drunk when you blink and your eyes don't reopen at the same time. That's the other thing I noticed.
You know, we all had our little moments over the weekend.
Buzz was way effed up last night. And we thought, you know, at one point when he was outside, I really said to him, and he said, no. And I said, no. Okay, well, what is it? He just said, I don't know. I'm really, really drunk.
And, you know, in the moment when you call, at one moment during dinner, you called your wife, and I overheard what you were saying to your wife, and I knew what the conversation was, and you said, no, I've just had one. I am fine.
Because
she was obviously identifying the fact that you were drinking.
Yeah.
And it was just funny the way you said, no.
Yeah, but you
sounded a little like...
You didn't seem
prepared.
No,
but Frida can pick it up. the slightest.
Yeah.
If I've had one drink,
they have the radar.
She can tell.
Now, if she had talked to you while you and I were sitting at the bar, at the sports bar,
there would be no conversation. I'd turn the phone off.
Good for you. That was but you weren't, by any stretch of the imagination. That was just the one moment where I noticed because you were speaking like Bob Barker a little bit.
I had my moments, but I was never really
you weren't
out of control drunk like I used to get.
Not like me.
Or me.
And I tell you, and I'm planning on doing it again tonight because we're leaving at 5 o'clock tomorrow morning. I'm going to try to hurt myself.
At one point, they're standing up. These douchebags from Westwood One are standing up,
making speeches
like the Oscars,
like this guy Harvey, who's the vice president of whatever, stands
Howie,
up. Howie and
Flanders, yeah,
says
hump.
Who would have ever thought when I graduated from Syracuse in 1987 and I started my career in broadcasting? Well, it was and I was saying J-O.
J-O, because it was a big circle journey.
At this point, we started calling each other on our phones.
Oh, God.
During quiet moments.
Quiet moments where they're making these absolutely tedious speeches, and all we wanted to do was get our chow.
So the guy, the Westwood, one guy stands up and makes his speech. Then he introduces Kevin Harlan, the announcer guy, who thinks he's won a goddamn Academy Award. Now, all he's doing is talking to a bunch of clients and disc jockeys in a restaurant.
Let me tell you about the woman behind the man right here. My wife of years.
She's given us our four lovely children, Jeremy, Jerky, Berkey, and Herky.
We're going to introduce all of the sports guys here. We got all these people. They're going to tell their little stories, and we're really poor.
For whatever reason, they have the former general manager of the Dallas Cowboys, Gil Brandt.
Which I thought, I knew there was no saving the evening when I thought you might get excited about that.
Yeah.
But no, he started talking and you went outside.
You leaned over to me, you said, call me. Yeah. So I hit redial on my phone, the Batman theme starts playing.
And then Don calls me during the middle of Gil Brandt's speech.
From outside.
And I've programmed it to have the loudest music at the Stars and Stripes.
So there were two calls during Gil Brandt's speech. One was the Batman theme, which goes off on my phone,
right,
and the Star Spangled Banner, Stars and Stripes,
right. Right. Stars and Stripes,
on Mike's phone. We're at this thing,
and you know what? Even the waiter made a speech.
Yeah,
that's
true.
How boring this was.
That's right.
The waiter got up and told us the history of the restaurant.
I don't want it. Can the history of the restaurant get my entree out any faster?
Shut up. Bring me the meal that's half the size the meal that I had the night before, and let me get the F out of here.
I don't care that the hen that runs the joint was named Queen of Mardi Gras. Give me my fish.
The night was saved.
But we did say nice a lot.
Nice!
The night was saved when... And there was a lot of getting up and walking outside, and we were doing it just to piss the Westwood One people off.
I backed out of it when we were bored.
That every once in a while, one at a time, we would just get up and we'd all leave, and then we'd all come back, and we were pretending we were taking phone calls.
Right. Yeah.
So it was my turn to get up and leave. I got up and left, and I see out on the street, coming at me, our friend Larry Michael and Jim Gray.
Hey,
now, I didn't know that.
Now you're going to get an explanation.
Right.
Because as Larry and Jim are coming towards me, Jim says, I say, hey, Larry. And he goes, hey. And Jim says, Don, I really missed you at dinner the other night. I said, I'm sorry I couldn't be there. Larry then says, we just saw a woman flash her teats. And as I'm still pumping Jim Gray's fist, saying,
pardon me?
His hand.
What were you doing? I heard fist and pumping.
You were shaking his hand.
We're embraced. We're shaking hands. And
you're
I'm
embraced?
Saying, he's saying our hands are embraced.
Oh, okay, all right.
And as I'm saying, I'm sorry I didn't make it. I understand it was great. Jim Gray says, she had great nipples. And I said, I understand. I really missed a great party. He said, no, Don, you don't understand. Huge nipples. I said, Mike tells me you got into a spirited discussion about Tiger Woods. Great nipples. I said, Tiger Woods? He goes, know this girl two blocks back.
So they were enjoying their little flashing.
They were. That was all James Gray wanted to talk about was
that's
huge nipples. We got to go to Buzz already?
Well,
you know, I have plenty more questions, but they'll wait for tomorrow's show. I have questions for Mike. Don't shake your head, Noah.
No more.
And questions for Buzz.
The Inquisition.
A lot of things make sense. Some things don't make sense. You know, even more so than you, Mike, Buzz is the enigma, I think, here.
I think the question for Buzz that we all should be asking, what is he on?
Yeah.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It's me.
He made it up.
We got chipped out of our tickets tonight.
Yeah, we're watching it on TV. Well, some of us.
Yeah. Well, the deal is this. We can go to the Superdome.
Uh-huh. Right.
Where we'll be put in a room with a television.
Nice.
So that is such a damn shame because, I mean, it's going to be a great game.
Oh, Mike, you wouldn't go if they paid you.
Okay.
You wouldn't go if they paid you.
Now, you may say that, but I know that Mike wanted a ticket very badly.
I wanted a ticket. I still want a ticket.
Oh, God,
you guys don't have a ticket?
God, dude, I want
Does
a
anybody
ticket.
Have a, or maybe a pair of tickets?
Did I want a ticket, too? You could sell it, like, for $10,000.
Yeah, I want a ticket so bad right now, a free one that I can sell.
Buddy, what is your lead story today? The fact that you were on Angel Dust last night?
No, it was just vodka. But the lead story, today reports that CBS insiders are betting on Survivor.
And again, congratulations to that. Congratulations to Les Moonves and Trixie. It was a beautiful ceremony, and I was so proud to be invited. Let's give away a trip to Las Vegas as well. Caller 100 right now. When we get back from the break, I'm going to ask you a question about something that happened very early in today's show.
The guys from Alabama have their cell phones out. They're calling right now.
877-365-3636. Be the 100th caller. One person gets a chance to win the trip to Vegas.
That's very exciting.
And if the person on the phone doesn't get it, I'm going to give the trip to one of these guys from Mobile.
Whoa!
So,
wonderful.
Call now, but only call if you've listened to the entire show. Call 100, answer the question, win a trip to Las Vegas.
You got them all excited now, Don.
Everybody else, stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
For news and comments.
News and comments.
Coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
Imagine you with the girls, Buzz with the booze. Yeah. That was all very professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
Made fresh daily with brown eggs. The Don and Mike Show.
Time for Buzz's News. Buzz brought to you by Duramax Sexual Pleasure Performance Enhancer. Doctor developed, clinically tested. Duramax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, on the select retailers. Try it today. Duramax 1-888 Try VMAX. You know, we've said all this nice stuff about Westwood One.
I love it.
But I'd just like to mention, they are just such pricks. You know, I went behind the curtain, and I got those two basketballs for the guys that came up from Mobile to see us.
Mm-hmm. Very nice gesture. Uh-huh.
Well, the Westwood One lady went over and tried to take them back.
Oh, no.
Blondie?
No, not Blondie. No. The girl in the white shirt.
Oh.
But fortunately, she didn't want the back because Rob had already signed our names on them.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they would have kept them.
Yeah.
I ran into Blondie in the bathroom, and she was all upset because she said she had bought those basketballs.
She had
paid for them.
God bless her.
And they were about $100 each.
I don't doubt that, but I don't think Blondie bought them.
Why are we calling her Blondie? She's got brown hair, doesn't she?
No, Blondie is another one.
Blondie's the one with the braces.
Is Blondie the one from Dallas?
Yeah.
Oh, she's the one. Is Blondie the one that tried to take him away?
No. The Amazon with the dark hair is the one that tried to take him away.
Do you think she can expense those balls?
No.
I think she can.
I don't think so.
I don't think she's...
What company do you work for?
Well, I don't think... First off...
She can expense them, I'm sure.
I don't think she actually bought the balls herself.
No. Do you run out of tickets?
No. I don't think... Stop teasing me, Rob. I don't think she's ever had balls in her hands anyway.
Hey, the bottom line is, are you guys happy? You're happy.
Yeah,
That's all that matters.
They got some nice NCAA
happy, balls. Happy, happy, like Emerald says.
Let's go to caller 100. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Good morning.
Hello. Yeah, hi.
What's up, guys?
Who's this?
What's up, Donna? Mike's
Brian.
Brian,
where are you from?
Sacramento. I'm doing the Sacramento dance.
All right, Brian, have you listened to the whole show to D?
You know it, brother.
Have you really?
I have.
Stop being a wiseacre and play the game.
You can't do it, Mike. You can't.
I can do it.
It's an easy question.
All right.
John, I hope he loses.
It's an easy question.
I pray.
What happened when Jim Nance came to our broadcast site today?
You dropped your pants.
Winner.
Yes!
Sorry, Rob.
Yes!
Rob, tell this man from Sacramento what he's won.
Congratulations, jackass. You have won a Viromax Las Vegas getaway for two, including 4 nights and 5 days hotel accommodations and round-trip airfare. Viromax Sexual Pleasure and Performance Enhancer. It really works. Call 1-888-TRI-VMAX to get your free supply or to find a retailer near you. Now, this is provided you're going to have to find a friend. So good luck with that.
Listen, thank you, my friend.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. Have a great time in Vegas.
And lick it.
And we
nice!
Nice! Nice! We'll give away a trip to Las Vegas every day this week.
Congratulations.
And we'll come up with a more creative way to give the trip away tomorrow. Now with the news and the comments, here's Guy Birdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, they say that even a scandal is good publicity, but could anything really renew our interest in the Survivor TV series at this point? I didn't think so. There are reports that CBS employees have been betting on the outcome of the latest round of the reality show. The winner won't be revealed till the end of the next month, but the final two contestants were determined months ago when the show was taped in the Amazon jungles of Brazil.
Jim Nance, were you involved in that?
Absolutely.
He did.
Really?
He was the mastermind.
Jim, what did they say when they found out?
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Yeah. But again, Jim, you bet on Survivor.
Absolutely. Wow.
And you must be mad at us.
You guys have been unbelievable.
Well, he sounds happy.
Yeah. Jim, are you drunk?
Absolutely.
Ah.
He'll be drunk for the broadcast tonight. The CBS gamblers are suspected of placing bets on a sure thing because they reportedly know the outcome. If anyone cares, here it is. It's between Matt, the machete guy, and scheming swimsuit model Jenna.
Jim Nance is on fire today!
According to an offshore betting site, the online odds makers say this information has skewed the odds for others betting on the show, so it's dropped the subject.
So they're going like to regular betting establishments, and like they're at casinos?
Open the window based on that inside information.
Wow. The story that I heard was that they were going like to, not only that, but to the online stuff.
Right,
wow.
So
if you work for CBS, they've gone for the last two survivors because they know who's going to win.
Inside information, right?
Yeah.
Not a nasty thing.
Somebody's going to get pirated.
Very nasty. Regis Philbin is not a happy man.
Not a happy man.
He's downright angry at ABC. After once claiming he'd saved the troubled network with Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, he now points out the show hasn't been on in prime time for about a year now.
I tell you, since they lost me, they don't have a chance. They don't have a prayer. It doesn't work.
He's not retarded.
Effelman. Kelly Ripa.
Quoting Reed, it's almost like I embarrassed them.
Did I embarrass you in front of a reporter?
Last year, ABC promised the show would return to prime time.
Hi there, Buzz.
In one form or another. Hi, Reed, how you doing?
God, you're cute.
Thank you. Geez. You're a very attractive man yourself.
Thank you, Buzz. Buzz, go ahead, then I'll jump in.
I was just going to say, quoting Regis again, I look at what's on, it's unbelievable. The daytime version of Millionaire with Meredith Vieira as host is still running, and that fries Reed.
I can't believe they put her on. Why? Why'd they get her? She's a C. That show's a waste of time,
bite your tongue.
I'm curious to see what Regis's reaction will be. I told you guys this, right? That Kelly Lee is getting a sitcom.
That's totally embarrassing, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
She ought to stay with me and not branch out. That's the way it ought to be. And I'm dying.
You know what are you dying of?
I don't know, but I have 4 months to live.
Oh, dear.
You know the actress who, Faith Ford, who was on Murphy Brown?
Right.
She's going to play the twin sister of Kelly Ripa on this sitcom that ABC has signed Kelly Lee up for.
Come on.
My kidneys have ceased.
Oh, dear.
Poor Rick. But anyway, I think they're doing both things at the same time.
You know what it is?
It'll piss them off because it's what Kathy Lee always wanted.
Well, basically, the whole world is saying F. Reach.
Nice microphone technique, Lisa.
Thank you.
Rosie O'Donnell says it's okay if the tabloids say...
I can't see color.
Oh, poor Rick.
What do you mean? I see in black and white. I'm colorblind.
Oh. It's crazy.
Rosie O'Donnell says it's okay if the tabloids say that she weighs 310 pounds, but she's totally pissed at the National Enquirer for saying that her life partner's about to take the kid and leave her. The former Queen of Nice says the Enquirer couldn't be more wrong when it says,
I'll drink to that.
When it says she and Kelly Carpenter are one fight away from splitting up the silverware. The tabloid says a series of fights actually prompted Kelly to leave once already, taking their four-month-old daughter with her. Rosie says she may sue the paper, even if it retracts the story. The Enquirer has no comment.
Hi, this is Regis Philbin again. Lesbianism is a crime against God. But I'm sorry, it's the way I feel. I'm a Roman Catholic.
But the question is,
yes?
Has Rosie's hand healed yet?
You know, I don't know. I doubt it, though.
That's a staph infection from putting it in bad spots.
Uh-huh.
Against nature?
It's against nature. It's illegal. It's a crime against God.
Huh.
You know what I watched on HBO today?
What's that?
A little while. That TV movie with Jessica Lange about the guy that wants to become a woman.
Normal?
Yeah.
Normal. We saw a bit of that. Is that any good?
They're showing it always.
Yeah.
It's funny. It's just funny when because they talk about vaginas and penises. And
mm-hmm. That's always funny.
That's always funny. You can always...
It's a crime.
Right.
It's a crime. A man trying to become a woman. That's a crime against Jesus.
Gladiator actor Russell Crowe got married as planned today. It was not the low-key affair he'd predicted, however.
Of
the
course.
Helicopters and the limos, the police escorts, and
of
designer
course.
Fashion.
Of course, like Mike with the two girls.
It was also, it was also Crowe's 39th birthday, and he's celebrating that and his wedding in a three-day party at his native Australia.
Let me kangaroo that.
The whole shebang's costing over $600,000. Tomorrow, Crowe's band releases a CD full of songs he wrote for women he knew before the bride, including some famous actresses. By the way, there are reports that despite his denials, Crowe has gotten his new bride to sign a prenuptial agreement. A source says if he didn't, he'd need a shrink, not a lawyer.
Let him eat our noodles.
Women who want to get pregnant should maybe abandon their other perfumes and use the old-fashioned Lily of the Valley scent instead.
You gotta gum up the googlies.
Are you listening, Lisa?
Scientists in Germany say they've discovered that the scent of that flower excites human sperm.
Hi.
I am a human sperm, and I am... Clink!
Yes, General Carter.
Come over here and excite my sperm.
I will. Just like you, Opie. Just like you asked, General Volcano. Excuse me, Major Hogstetter.
Clink! My sperm is not excited, Clink.
I'll come over and make them dance, Major Hogstetter.
They have to be at the ovum in the morning.
Ah, the ovum.
Scientists in Germany say they've discovered that that scent of the flower excites human sperm. They say it makes the male reproductive cells swim twice as quickly and more directly toward their targets.
The ovum is a much better alternative to the Russian front.
This is the...
Swim, my pretty swim.
Yes, Major Hochstetter.
This is the first time it's been documented that sperm respond to aroma. The scientists say this is useful information in the search for new things to both prevent and encourage pregnancy.
Smell, swim!
We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Pretty Men, Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
I want to thank our Western One Engineering support team down here.
Yeah.
Arthur, Dino, Trevor, Jose, Chris, Abby Kransky, Gabriella,
right.
Peggy Panache, Larry Michaels!
Thank you, Larry!
So, let me see. OnStar, Radio Shack, Coca-Cola, Ben Gay.
Hi.
And Jay Stevens. And if you're listening, Jay, Rockville's too far away. Move the meeting to Fairfax. Sorry, just took a few valuable minutes of radio time to say something I could have written in an email. Now here's Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Geraldo Rivera is apologizing again, or still, for breaking military rules and revealing the movements of American troops in Iraq. He tells
F you, white trash.
Tells Fox News, and I quote, I should have been more careful. But he still claims he left Iraq voluntarily. The Pentagon would beg to differ.
Uh-huh.
And former NBC reporter Peter Arnett...
I left WBBM-FM voluntarily, too.
Yes. Former NBC reporter Peter Arnett is now reporting from Baghdad for Taiwanese television.
Oh, and this report just in.
Uh-huh.
Ken Stevens and Jeremy Coleman left on their own, too.
They shouldn't have drawn those maps in the sand.
Oh, Opie and Anthony have just called. They left on their own, too.
A lot of that going around.
Doyle and Dominski just called. They left on their own, too.
So Peter Arnett now reporting for Taiwanese television. He was fired from NBC for saying the U.S. plan for invading Iraq had failed. He, too, has apologized. A reporter covering the war in Iraq died in the line of duty, but not because of the war. NBC's David Bloom, who also co-anchored the weekend version of the Today Show, keeled over with a blood clot just south of Baghdad yesterday morning. The 39-year-old died of a pulmonary embolism. Ted Koppel, meanwhile, seems to be having a good time over there. He says he relishes reporting on the war. And quoting him, "I'm astonished at how good the food really is. The hamburger, if you put some barbecue sauce and a little melted cheese on it, is really quite good," end quote.
You know, I was reading about this guy, David Bloom.
Yeah.
Who I enjoyed,
yes,
as a reporter, I thought he was pretty good. He was not bad on the Today Show.
Right.
Part of what I was reading said that the reason he got this blood clot was because he was
sitting in a tank
yep. for hours and hours and hours, and not able to move his leg.
That's one of the causes of one of those. Is it embolism?
Embolism.
Yeah, a pulmonary embolism, right. And it can happen to anybody. And he was what, only 39 years old?
Exactly right. Yes.
Left a beautiful family behind.
Mm-hmm.
It's very sad.
He was good, and still you have douchebags like Geraldo Rivera that are alive.
Yeah.
Man, there's no justice done.
Oscar-nominated actor James Garner has just donated $500,000 to the drama school at the University of Oklahoma.
Oscar loves you, James Garner.
If you keep talking in that gay voice, I'm going to kick you across the state line.
I'm Oscar. Oscar loves James Garner.
I sure hope you're not insinuating that I might be gay.
No, not at all. I love doing Murphy's Romance. Oscar loved Maverick.
I like my shirts like I like my shorts.
Brown.
Oh.
Well, the University of Oklahoma is not only James Garner's alma mater, it's the oldest drama school west of the Mississippi.
If it's brown, flush it down. If it's mellow, let it yellow, whatever.
Yeah.
Oscar loves the Rockford Files, even though it's not my genre.
I'm Jim Rockford.
There was a standing room only crowd to greet him when the star of the Rockford Files appeared at the school the other day. That choked up the 74-year-old, quoting him, "Has somebody got a Kleenex?"
Kleenex is good for J.O. For J.O.
Oscar loved J.O.
I like Kleenex brand when I J.O. I won't use a paper towel or a towel in the bathtub.
Oscar can't J.O. I have no genitals.
That's right, but you can use Oscar to stimulate. Rub one out.
Maybe Calvin Klein has been drinking his own cologne. People really began to wonder after he walked out onto the court at a recent NBA game to talk to Latrell Sprewell.
No, he's not retarded.
During the game. The guards who escorted the fashion designer back.
Not Latrell.
No.
No, of course. Calvin Klein.
Right.
The guards who escorted the fashion designer back to his seat say they couldn't understand him because he was mumbling. Now, Klein admits he's messed up.
Oh, watch your language, Mr. Dirty Mouth.
That he's getting treatment for his drug and alcohol problem. He's been down this road before. He says he suffered his latest setback when he stopped going to the meetings.
Sorry, Mike. Mick.
Hey, this is Keith. Yeah, the Richard. It's a John and Mike.
This is Calvin Klein. Give me a vegetable.
The widow of John Lennon is spitting mad about Paul McCartney's decision.
Buzz?
Yes?
Excuse me.
Uh-huh.
Don't say it. Because we're not there
exactly.
To hit the alarm.
I've been very careful about
and
that.
And
Joe could probably never find the Yoko Ono.
No, he doesn't know that.
Oh, you said...
You know what, now,
after
you opened Pandora's box.
I went to avoid saying...
Because you know you don't know...
Hey! Way to go! See, apologize to Joe.
No! I didn't think you'd have a problem finding it. I think you'll have a problem knowing when to turn it off.
Yeah, that's true. He might just let it keep going and go.
And, hey, don't hit me. Hey.
Lennon's widow is spitting mad about McCartney's decision to reverse the songwriting credits on some of the old Beatles songs. Paul is performing nearly 24 of those songs on his current tour.
Hey, Buzz?
Yes.
You remember when Paul...
was in the Beatles.
You remember that, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
That was awesome.
He's changed some of those credits from Lennon McCartney to McCartney Lennon.
Nice.
That infuriates a number of diehard Beatles fans and the widow Lennon, who was threatening a lawsuit.
Hey, Buzz?
Yeah?
You remember when he did Abbey Road?
Yeah, I do. That was great. Awesome! But quoting John, I know what I wrote.
Nice!
I'm doing nothing wrong.
Nice!
There was an agreement between us that if we ever wanted to, we could switch. It's come out like I'm trying to dance on John's grave, which is a pity because I'm his biggest fan. I'm the guy who knew him best.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Paul should...
Hello.
Maybe Paul should do less talking so he can do more singing.
Hello.
He's been forced to cancel a show in Northern England because he's lost his voice. Actually, he says he caught a bad cold.
Oh, it's too bad we don't have our tobacco run. Live and let die.
He's apologized to the fans and he's asking them to hang on.
Hey, Jude.
Hang on to the tickets because...
Don't let me down.
The show will be rescheduled.
Take a stand. She loves you. Yeah.
It'll be a heyday for Mr. Skin and, for that matter, the rest of us.
Heyday!
Halle Berry naked with 19 other naked women in a soapy shower having a cat fight. It's in the movie Gothica, in which Halle plays a psychiatrist who wakes up one day in a psych ward.
Yes!
Word is, Berry declined to use a body double.
Nice!
Bill Maher is still a jerk. Even though he's not on regular TV anymore, he threw a fit at a party in Los Angeles last week. Yes.
Who am I? I'm not your editor.
Okay.
But as far as I'm concerned, I'm sure you have a story.
Yeah?
But it was just
you could just stop there?
Bill Maher is still a jerk.
In other news. Now, you'll want to know about this because it will help you hate him more.
Good.
This party in L.A. being thrown for rising stars by Details Magazine included Rachel Griffiths, Amanda Peet, Laura Flynn Boyle, and Cato Kaelin. When Maher arrived and discovered that no VIP table had been reserved for him and his posse, he was quoted as saying, "When you invite someone like me to a party..."
Oh, God. What a roid.
Owning a video camera can pay big time. Ask the tourist in Las Vegas who spotted Britney Spears at the pool, sunning herself, adjusting her suit, and rubbing oil on her legs.
Ooh. Excuse me while I rub one out.
He's now selling the video to the highest bidder.
I'll offer a dollar.
Sheriff Andy Taylor could wind up...
Robbins has just trumped me, too.
$2.
And Lisa Herndon, there's always time for cosmetics. Yes, siree.
You want to look your best.
Always.
Sheriff Andy Taylor could wind up having two statues in North Carolina. TV Land viewers got enough names on a petition to put a statue of the fictional sheriff in the state capital of Raleigh.
Boo!
The network says that statue will be for the fans and for all of the people of North Carolina. But folks in the small town of Mount Airy, upon which the fictional town of Mayberry is based, say they want a statue of their own.
Mount Fairy.
Oh, the way Barney did it.
Welcome to Mount Fairy, North Carolina.
Look, the group...
Erect it.
And they will.
Quite an erection.
The group Limp Bizkit has finally found a new guitarist, despite the failure of a nationwide talent search. They've hired Mike Smith to replace...
I thought you were going to say Joe Arden.
No, not this time. Maybe someday. But they've hired Mike Smith, according to Fred Durst.
Joe.
He's dope. This you will find out soon enough. Up till now, Mike has played guitar for a group called Snot. Who knew it would be good to have Snot on your resume? Limp Bizkit is looking for a new lead vocalist. When asked which government official she admires the most, former First Lady Barbara Bush chose her son, George.
George, no doubt. George is the best. I don't think I'm speaking out of school. He is the best. Yeah. Or my name's not Barbara Bush.
Quoting her at a weekend function, as I watch him guide our country through this difficult time, I can't help but wonder, is this the same kid I used to spank?
You know, really, seriously, my son rocks.
Yeah. She also said, quite frankly, it's a relief for me to be out of the house and away from the television set.
You like Barbara Bush, Buzz?
Yeah, I do.
Call me a pretty girl.
You're a pretty girl.
You're a special lady.
I'm a special lady and a very special girl.
Sure are.
Yeah.
In sports.
Nice.
KU.
Nice.
KU faces Syracuse here in New Orleans.
F you.
The NCAA championship, Rock Chalk Jayhawks.
Nice.
And finally, the librarians in Minneapolis are uncomfortable. And they're now suing their bosses over the guys who come into the library just to look at porn on the computers. The librarians say these guys monopolize the computers.
Joe.
And, quote, would react angrily and at times violently if any effort was made to interfere or with or halt their actions.
Joe.
They say the guys also harass women, including the librarians themselves.
Joe.
The library workers want nearly $500,000 each for the humiliation, emotional distress, and anxiety.
If you can't rub one out in the library, where can you rub one out?
They say they've been complaining to their bosses about this for years with no results. They say some of the guys, yes, Joe, even J-O at the computers in the library.
Remember, you can't spell Joe without J-O.
I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzzy. Yeah, that's it. We do have to go now. Joe, the Mary Tyler Moore card now. There you go. And also, thanks to
Joe.
Joe, solid job around the board today. Thank you, Joe. We'll be back at home tomorrow. I guess that's it.
Yeah.
We are rooting for Kansas, right?
Hey, Rock Chalk Jayhawks.
The KU.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Right on.
I didn't know that was. I didn't get the memo.
Come on.
No, I'm a Syracuse. Sorry. Sorry, guys.
Why?
My sister went to Syracuse.
Oh, all right. Well, then that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Mike.
Like, we're going to be watching anyway.
See you at the game.
See you in my room to watch the game.
Yes.
Here's what Wilson One has.
Mm-hmm.
You wait in line at the Superdome, which is across town.
Uh-huh.
Then you get your official pass.
Sounds good.
Then you go to the basement.
Yes.
And we'll put you in a room.
Yes.
With a bunch of other sweaty BM-eating journalists.
Nice.
And you can watch the game on a TV.
Nice!
Hoo-ah!
Okay, that's it. Gotta go. See you tomorrow with a new episode back in D.C. Love you, Frieda. Love you, Bart. Good day to you, sir.
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 Linus.
Speeds.
Right. Joe, door. Meet it now.
BM eaters.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.